You're listening to Fakeologist Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to fakeologist.com/radio3. To participate in the chat, go to fakeologist.com/audio chat. Each day, we compress and upload the day's chat, be it big or small. Leave a quick message, do a whole show. All are welcome when it's related to fakeology. Now, on with today's audio.
Constructing a rocket. Tuning distorted waveforms. Generating subsonic pulse.
Welcome on this Monday afternoon, sunny afternoon. Well, I'm playing some music. And I'm here not alone, luckily. I'm here with Jerris. Jerris.
Yes.
Benoit.
I'm there. Oh, yes.
Hello.
Welcome, everyone.
I hear a good sound there.
Yes.
What's in your hand?
A lighter.
And
the thing
what
that
else?
Goes with it. The thing that goes with it. Is it still not considered legal in Switzerland, oddly enough, but it will come.
How can it be that in the country of cheese, the other country of cheese, the other one is Holland, of course, but Switzerland, that cheese is illegal?
Mm-hmm. Interestingly enough, it is. But the French will have a claim on the cheese country claim that you just made, you know?
I know, but the French have so many claims. We can talk about some claims they had in the past. Like New France, right?
Yes, the famous New France.
And we can talk about that later. But okay. The French, well, I'm looking at a huge advertisement for a French company, which is here, luckily, because I like it. It's a sports wear and accessoire company. Probably you know it. You must have it in Switzerland too, I think. It's very cheap. It's good.
Which brand?
You know it? The French.
Which brand?
It's a blue logo with letters on it.
Oh, I don't know it.
It actually has a kind of a Greek origin.
Oh, Lacoste? No, it's not Lacoste.
No. Yeah, I said cheap.
Cheap.
Come on, you know.
Cheap cannot be Lacoste or Lacoste.
Exactly. Yes.
It's a good brand.
Decathlon.
Ah, Decathlon. Yes, with the Quechua brand that they own.
Yes, exactly. You know, and there's...
I did not know you had Decathlon in...
that's opened like 2 years ago, I think. And it's close to me, the only one in Colombia.
Those are cheap clothes, and it's good, to be honest. It's good material.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, yes, very much. I like it. I bought my wife's hiking boots there for our honeymoon up the volcano, the biggest volcanic eruption in history. Well, 204 years later. If, no, 202 years later, but okay. But yes. So,
Decathlon is a great brand. It's the best way to get a cheaper bicycle here, at least.
Yes, yes. Yeah, they have a very good selection and lots of quality and cheap stuff. It's good value for money.
Yes, all made in China, but what isn't made in China those days?
I mean, people here combine it with hand sewn. You say that? Sewn? Soon?
Soon, yes.
Sewn. Bags, handbags, and shawls, and whatever. And now it's nice weather. It's like 22, 23 degrees, which is like the maximum it gets here. And it's very nice. I'm sitting in the sun, enjoying the sunshine. Yeah, it's very good. Lots of yellow taxis on the road, but there's not much. It's very quiet. Mm. But yeah, please.
I did watch this documentary about a French journalist that was intending to only use French product for a full year. So it was funny because the guy had to find French clothes, which is not really a problem if you have enough money. I will. It's really interesting. The only thing that the guy did not manage to find, build in France, is a fridge. So he had no fridge. Okay. But he did find the...
So how did he keep his things?
Yes. But it was really interesting, just in the food aspect. Because, they show that most of the labels are total fraud.
I bet you cannot do that in Israel.
Interestingly enough, there is a brand that is proudly rocking the Israeli flag on their product, and it's SodaStream.
It is what, sorry?
SodaStream. The... It's a device to make your own Coca-Cola or Sprite or whatever.
SodaStream.
SodaStream, exactly. And if you were to buy, at least in Switzerland, one of those great machines, there is a nice holographic sticker that says that it's made in Israeli colonies with the help of
Arabs. Israeli colonies? What?
Yes, something like that.
Yeah? Wow.
Something like that. At least it's made in Israel. I am not really sure, but I saw the stickers a few months back. It kind of stayed with me that they had this Israeli flag proudly made in Israel or whatever on it.
Wow.
With the help of Arabs and Jews. And
with the help of Arabs and Jews. Does it say that sticker? Does it say that?
Something like that. Maybe I even have the picture right there because, of course, I took a picture, but I don't know if it's still on this phone. Okay. If it's not on this phone, I will find it.
No hurries. Okay. Wow. Now, the only Israeli invasion is mostly concentrated here at the coast. What I told before, of Taganga. What I know of, I mean, there must be more, but I haven't seen it. I haven't been there. But here in the city, it's not as obvious, at least.
Yes, it's not that overt. Here in Geneva, we have a small pocket of people of that confession, and they don't really blend in the city.
People of that confession. We talked about Israelis, yeah?
Oh, Israelis, you cannot tell them by the look of them. Yes, totally.
Yes. And maybe they want us to confuse it because they are now pushing laws that criticizing Israel or their policies is anti-Semitism somehow, which doesn't make any sense whatsoever. But okay. Still, I don't think criticizing any country has anything to do with if there is something as racial hatred or something.
Yes, and the thing is that I saw a documentary when I was really young about maybe 14, 15, and that was a series of French documentary called 20 Years In. So it could be 20 years in Tel Aviv, New York, Manila, or whatever. And I saw the one on Tel Aviv, and what was really interesting is that those people, those 20-year-old people, they don't give a fuck about the war or anything like that. They just want to have a nice life, maybe have a nice house, nice children, and be in safety. And they don't care, at least the people in the documentary, they did not care at all about politics or whatever.
Yeah, I don't know. I had one encounter in Tel Aviv at a bar. My friend was going to bed already, and I was still having a beer, and I talked to one guy only from Tel Aviv. And he was, yeah, of course, he was. Tel Aviv is like a rich life city kind of hip place. But I wasn't in that district. But he was very much political and very much, yeah, we have to defend ourselves against these terrorists. And so it was completely brainwashed. I couldn't have any sensible conversation with him. It was a funny encounter because then you get that side of Israel. And yeah, that is a pretty strong side, which they probably won't show in a documentary on television so much. So... it's only one experience, and I had other experiences, but this sense was still there. Not so mm-hmm. much in Beersheba. Beersheba is in the middle of the desert, in the Negev,
mm-hmm.
and there it's different. It's also a very university and also military, of course, town, but in the middle of the desert, so it's less close to the Palestinian territories in the West Bank and so, and the colonies and all that stuff.
Yes, what was really interesting about this documentary series that I mentioned was that those are still the same kind of people. Whichever country you go, those are the same kind of people. 20-year-old people that just want to party, have fun, yeah. and not be too much afraid of the future. What was really interesting and funny about this documentary series that they did one in Harlem, being 20 years old in Harlem. Yes, Harlem. and they filmed the Harlem.
In Harlem? In Harlem, New York. Oh, not Harlem.
Harlem, New York. No, okay. Not Harlem in the Netherlands. Harlem, New York. Okay. And they filmed the...
If you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the Fakeologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription or one-time donation. Thank you for your support.
Yes.
So yes, they did film this young guy from Harlem, New York, and he was a rapper. And a few years later, this guy went on and became a multi-platinum selling artist. So it was funny to see the guy when he was just 20 years old, full of dreams and hopes.
Is he a well-known rapper?
Yes, his name is Cameron. He was at least known in the late 90s to, yeah, let's say, late 2000.
Yeah, in that period. I didn't know. Yep. Cool.
So it was funny to see the guy without any money hanging out on the streets with his friend, dreaming of being a big rapper, and by the time I saw the documentary, he was already.
I like those documentaries about the real life in the city, in the place. It's nice. Cool. It's a cool insight into a place. Definitely.
Yes, yeah. I used to be fascinated about the documentaries on people living in the old subway, abandoned subway station, or those kind of place, you know?
Yeah, I understand.
It's fascinating what kind of people goes there. And in the end, it's also fascinating what kind of setup they can end up having, because some of those people, they build something really nice for them, at least if you compare with the other people that live in those tunnels.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And there is a large population of those people under Las Vegas, of all places.
Las Vegas, yeah, of course. Related to all this casino industry, yeah, of course. On the flip side of that, there must be a lot of poverty and the same gambling funnels through in society, right?
Yes. Yes, and it's also the case in
plastic world. Oh man!
Yeah. Yes, and also it's very shocking because it's in contrast with the life in Las Vegas. But if you ever get bored and have some time to spend on YouTube, you just type Romanian Bruce Lee. And Romanian Bruce Lee was kind of the king of a strange underground world in Bucharest, Romania.
Ah, okay.
He was living with all those people.
Please share it in the show notes, Gary.
Yes. I will put it on the live stream chat. So yes, the Romanian Bruce Lee was had some few bits on Italian and English TV, and then the authorities got to react and get arrested publicly at that.
Bucharest is an interesting city. you know, the biggest building you can visit in the world is there in Bucharest.
Yes, which building it is?
The Casa Popolului.
Which is what, the parliament or something like that?
No. It's the palace of Ceausescu.
Oh.
And this is the Pentagon is the biggest building in the world, but you cannot visit the Pentagon. But you can visit this building, at least part of it, of course. And, yeah, it's insane, really. it's so huge and all this splendor and all this, yeah, it's really special to visit. Next ambulance is coming. And it's the 425 ambulance. But it's going very fast.
Okay.
It's flowing very well here now at this moment. It's summer holidays. People are on holidays, away from the city. Which is good. Nice. Very quiet. What about Plan Patagonia? Have you looked at that a bit? I mean, what are your ideas? Do you have some questions? I don't know anything much more than what is on Wikipedia, and even that is mostly a compilation of things. I haven't read every article by the letter and so on, understood what they said, but the gist of most of it there.
It appears to me that it's not so much about the big picture as I thought previously. It's also a direct economical interest, you know?
Oh, yes, very much, of course. It is extreme economic interest. That is, I mean, there is no other virgin land which is habitable in all modern life. And you don't need much there, right? You need energy. Well, there's loads of different kinds of energy there to get, mostly wind. It's good that we're mentioning that because I had something open before my internet crashed. Just before the chat, because it was described actually, according to the history books, of course, but by a German guy, and his name was. Let me look it up. I have a lot open. Hans Varga. And this was in 1519. This Hans Varga, this German guy, he was one of the guys on board with Magellan, around the Cape there in the south of South America, right? And he said about Patagonia, and quote, "Kales, unfreundliches Land, von Stürmen durchweht, und scheinbar unbewohnt." Do you know what it means, Garris?
Not at all.
A kahl is empty. It's like bold, but you would say empty, I think. Empty, unfriendly land, dominated by storms, and apparently uninhabited. It was in 1520. This German guy wrote this about Patagonia, according to the book Deutsche Spuren in Argentinien. 2 Jahrhunderte wechselvoller Beziehungen. So 200 years of German traces in Argentina. Well, even more, if this is 1520. So yeah, I just want to share that because wind in energy is the biggest in share has Patagonia, and it's providing more than half of the energy of Argentina total. So if Argentina would lose Patagonia completely, it would lose 80% of its oil, about 30% mining or so, and 57% energy and mostly wind.
Yes, but quite that,
and only only 2 million people, eh? It's insane. There's no other virgin land on Earth like this, which is habitable, right? I mean, you can live in Papua New Guinea or so, but that is, the climate is not very friendly.
Indeed.
And where else? Yeah, Northern Canada or so, but the same thing, climate.
Yes, and less natural resource also.
Yeah, you need bigger. It's less concentrated, I think. Yeah, yeah. And
yes, and
agriculture. The winters are too strong, so agriculture is much harder. And in Patagonia, it's everything is there. You have in the extreme north, it is still like pretty hot, especially in summer. But Bariloche was. It was not founded, but it was funded by Germans. And only in the late 19th century. I didn't know that. I just read it. So Bariloche is a very young city in Argentina, in South America in general. So it's no surprise that the Nazis went there, because it was German influence from the beginning on.
Yes, I think so. I think that it's the best place to settle if you want to be quiet and have access to all the natural resources. And in the end, it's the few of the pictures that you share look a lot like Switzerland,
yeah,
which in terms look a lot like Germany, so
absolutely.
It's familiar,
it's,
you know.
It's the exact same biome, let's say.
Yes, it looks the same, it feels the same, so... If one were to, for example, hike in those mountains, it will have kind of a Bavarian feeling of some sort.
Yes, very much, yes. Yeah, true.
So, of course, if you were to settle somewhere else.
No, exactly. I mean, many, both Nazis and Jews settled in Cordoba, in the north. Many Jews also more in the northern part, but that is at least what I now have found. I mean, there's a much bigger spread of foreigners. Also, there's Croatian heritage there. And one of the... the parents, one of the mother of Nestor Kirchner was of Croatian descent. And his father... I had something else open, but I forgot it. It's so much. Did you know about the Mapusaurus, Joris?
Yes, I'm sorry, I did not catch what you were saying.
The Mapusaurus, do you know what it is?
Not at all.
Actually, the name means like Gaia-saurus. Because Mapu, like what Mapuche comes from, means Gaia, means Earth. So, the Mapuche are the people, Chase people, of the Earth.
Which makes sense, because in your small perspective, if you were a Mapuche in the time, you were persuaded you were the only inhabitant of the world.
Definitely, yes.
Like the Greek were persuaded that the whole world, they knew of.
Yeah, I mean, no matter how history actually was, but these ideas all make sense. They all fit. They all are natural, right?
Yes.
If we don't know any better, it's interesting that we're coming up now in 2 weeks' time. We have the so-called moon landing jets. We will save that for then. But there is some interesting psychological similarity, right? It's basically going to a completely different place where nobody has been before.
Yes, and the legend is still to be written when you get there, so if you are the first one to come back, you can almost say whatever you want.
Yeah, but it's the way you tell what you just, what you went through. If you really would go through such a life-changing experience that nobody else ever has had or ever will have, then you cannot act that out. You cannot be completely neutral or, you know, you cannot be insensitive to your own senses about such an achievement, allegedly, right? So the whole interview after Apollo 11 just debunks Apollo 11 already. That's already enough. But there's much, much more, but that is already enough to debunk the whole thing. But, sorry, I was talking about the Mapusau as well. It is a dinosaur from the late Cretaceous, Cenomanian to Turonian, so about 95 million years ago, in Argentina, and possibly Chile, and it was a big guy, or girl, estimated at 12.6 meters. But yeah, all these fossil finds there, that will be then all part of Israel 2.0, you think?
I'm sorry?
I asked if all these fossil finds will be part of Israel 2.0. What do you think?
No, I don't know. They will form specialists.
Specialists? Sorry?
I'm sorry, I have to leave you for just 5 quick minutes, but I'll be back.
Okay, cool.
I'm just going to mute for 5 minutes.
Okay, cool. Then, yeah, the Mapusaurus, but there are so many other fossil finds in Patagonia. It's impressive. And not only dinosaurs, but also mammals, birds, and other animals from many different ages. We have the Coyoncura formation of north central Patagonia, and that is such an important formation that it defines an age in the geologic history and in the biostratigraphy of South America. Because of all the mammals that are found there, many different strains. Parasodonta and lithopterns and giant armadillos and sloths and the biggest bird ever, Kelenken, which is named after a Tehuelchi demon god, as I understand, which is a terror bird with an estimated height of about 3 meters. With a beak, it could be lethal at first bite. They are pretty cool animals, terror birds. They were South American only, and then went to North America where they found just one or two terror birds, but they were coming from South America. And those were the dominant predators of about 20 million years ago. So, nice. But yeah, all these nice fossils, they will be then in Patagonia. They are in Patagonia. Will they still be accessible for us to study, or are they becoming part of a new country? Who knows? So yeah, I just wanted to talk a bit about that with Gareth, and just share some thoughts and so on. I didn't really prepare anything, just talk a bit. So we get already 2 fans, 2 downvotes, which is great. Nice to see people take notice. I hope they clicked on Wikipedia and read a bit about it. Watch some pictures maybe if your text is too much to be. Yeah, and there's quite some links to follow and some, interesting points to make. Lots of potential.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message. This is Maria Laquita. I'm calling from Dubai, UAE, and you are listening to Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
Hello. You're mute, man. Yes? Okay. Oh, funny how the Colombians are driving. If you miss an exit, you just reverse and you just go and take it. Stuff like that. Funny. Lots of motorcycles, suddenly. But yeah, Plan Patagonia. I understand them perfectly. I have my own nice palace in Colombia. I understand other people want a palace or a nice paradise piece of land in Patagonia. I perfectly understand it. It's just how do you deal with the local population and all that. And there's a lot of things we don't hear about. And yeah, it's pretty big. I don't know if it will become like a Zionist state or so. I don't know if that is the real goal. It might be just like a new country, something. It could be, but it's... I mean, the Jews are a big minority, but they're not the majority of people or families with biggest landowners. Maybe in smaller pieces, but like 40%, I would say, is Jewish. The pity is that the whole plan for Europe and North America, especially in Australia as well, and also South Africa, is a bit darker, and that is not nice. And everyone needs to be able to live in Patagonia, or here where the culture is very monocultural, language pure Spanish, not anything else. With international influence, of course, like Decathlon, what we talked about, and all the big brands are here, but it's very original still. So I don't know what plans do they have with Colombia, but so far it's only the clergy plan kind of invasion of Venezuelans, which has damaged the economy of the country. Colombia was running too well, so it needed to be suppressed. And how do they do it? With migration streams. Exactly what they do to Europe and to the US as well, and Canada and Australia and the Middle East. But the idea of an unsustainable Israel is very important. It cannot be another 150 years with more people, more land claim. No room for growth. It's a desert, mostly. Climate is nice for holidays, but not good for... What they've done in agriculture is pretty impressive. And but it's not really sustainable for a long time. Not politically, only religiously, but it's a minority of Jews who really care about that Jerusalem thing, I think. It's a very big difference between Tel Aviv and Jerusalem already. The amount of Orthodox Jews you see in Jerusalem is like 100 times that of what you see in Tel Aviv. Or no. I don't know if they're all from there, but already in such a small country, there's a very big difference. And many Jews would actually want to have a homeland, but not Israel, and not this Israel. And that's also very true. And I think there's nothing wrong with having your homeland. The thing is how you get it. You slaughter other people for it, then I don't think that is part of the non-aggression principle agreement we should live by. And that is what they have done in the past in Patagonia with the Mapuche massacre, 100,000 claimed deaths. I don't know, might be more, might be less, I don't know. But I'm not surprised. For, is it 1860 to 1880 or so? 20 years? I don't know. And the Selknam genocide, where they killed 2,800 out of 3,000 people or so, no more. In one slaughter, they left two guys alive. Insane. They've done that already to Patagonia in the past, and that's only twice, and there's much more smaller things under the radar, not in the media, so there's much more happening. I think in the Western world there's much less happening than what you see on TV, and here there's much more happening than you see on TV. And there's a lot of crime here in the city, especially in the south. Yeah, it's not coming on TV. Never. And if it comes on TV, it's in a movie. That's it. That's how they fictionalize it. Then it's okay. Oh, nice weather. Nice airplane of Avianca. Second oldest airline in the world after KLM. Nice. Oh, yeah, another interesting incident of... When was it? November 2017 or December, with this Argentinian submarine that got lost, and then it was still got located or not, or maybe it still got lost. I don't know. I lost the plot of the story. I think there were 44 people on board, and I understood that 4 is the death number or so. I don't know. 44. I don't know where that comes from, but could be. It's always interesting, these numbers. They could mean something, and they could not. But many times, it points to a certain thing, yes. It's overwhelming, then. Surely there is something to it. Yeah, it's a nice story. Gary's, this guy only used French products for a year. It's good. Yeah, at least you can drive a car. It's built in Japan from Japanese engines or whatever, but it should be possible to have a French car. And here, yeah, a Colombian car, no. And a Dutch car you can have, but it's very expensive. And a very nice Spyker. It's a very nice sports car. Design is, yeah, very impressive. But, yeah, it's not really affordable for most people. But it's a good habit. I like to buy Colombian products as well. I think it's also within our powers to change in society and do mostly business with, yeah, just the people we like. I mean, that's what you do. You have so many small shops here. And just in the next corner, almost from my house, has 3 corner shops. And they all sell mostly same stuff, but also different stuff. And yeah, and you visit all 3 of them, you have a good relation with all 3 of them, yeah, and then you buy it, all 3 of them. Hey, if you don't have a good service, a good relation, you don't buy there. And that's how we should, that's natural, a natural way of mankind. And it's all this social programming that makes us unnatural, away from nature. And the more you reduce the amount of unnatural bullshit, especially first thing, the news, but also education system, detach from that, and then, it becomes much more visible with what they're actually trying to do, getting us away from nature, that is, away from Gaia, that is, for sure.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
Dreams, they feel real while we're in them, right? It's only when we wake up that we realize something is actually strange.
Welcome back, Jairus. Monsieur Benoit, are you there? No, you're listening, but you're not speaking. Okay. That was a bit of Dutch cheese culture, actually. From Gouda, the Netherlands, within Temptation Mother Earth. Well, I'm looking at her at this moment, and her nice shape, curvy shape, in the Andes of South America. Oh, it's very nice. Yes, with my coffee plant next to me. Hello, Jairus. Hello, are you there?
And I'm back. I am back, officially.
Hey. Yeah,
sorry about that.
Wow, that's great. Let's keep it on.
Yes, some domestic disturbance, but nothing really important.
Okay, as long as there is no severed horse head in your bed.
Yes, something like that.
Please share with us your views, Jairus.
My what? My views?
Yes, about anything, actually.
About anything? Oh, I don't
anything
know. I will say that anything I like. Yes, those days I am watching a bit on the... I am trying to find the commercial accord between Benetton and the government of Argentina for the mining concession and those things. That is what is interesting me, at least today.
Nice.
Because, yes, I think that it would be really interesting to see all the dividends are paid and to who and
since when
magnitude.
Since when does a fashion company do mining activity?
I think it's totally related to fashion, to be honest. Because, yes, the both industry is child working, you know?
And
they are known for child work, so...
And especially if you have... not so much fashion, but jewelry, right? And
exactly.
Silver and gold, and especially in Santa Cruz. Yeah, it's huge, man.
Yeah, so maybe Benetton is not that much a fashion company, but more a child labor company.
Yeah. But is the goal,
probably.
Is their goal child labor, you think?
No, I don't think that the main, the final goal is child labor in itself.
Okay.
But there is always, even if you have no children inside the mind itself, you always have children around and, you know. So in the end, it's always ending up bringing child labor of some sort.
As a kid, I went along with my... both my father and my mother, and I've done work on a typewriter for my father, for his work. But, yeah, it was not really child labor. Just on the weekend, he had to work, and he had to type something or so, and then I typed it. So it was not really child labor, but, yeah, it is labor, and I was a child, so, yeah. But it's child labor.
Yes, in some sort of way.
I know what you mean, of course.
It's child learning, let's say.
I wouldn't compare that to the blood diamonds some people here don't believe in.
Yes.
In no way whatsoever, of course.
The hoax about the diamond, I think, is mostly the price and the rarity of it.
Yeah, I think that's a good... Yeah. I mean, it is so easy to control a market of such a rare product, and there is a synthetic market too, but a real expert can tell the difference between the two, for sure, right? It's not like it's... We can make diamonds like nature can. No, of course not.
Not yet, but
by definition, that will never happen.
To be honest,
they could never fake moon rocks.
Oh no,
it's impossible. It's impossible to go there, so we cannot check it. But the real moon rock is impossible to fake here on Earth because we don't have moon rock by definition, right?
Yes, but...
If you have never been to a volcanic island and you don't have any access to rocks, volcanic rocks, you cannot make a volcanic rock with your non-volcanic material, right?
That is it. That would be alchemy, magic.
Yes, exactly, yeah. Just like you cannot fake without being recognized at one moment by an honest researcher, and the question is if that is if there's access like that, a real fossil from a fake fossil. I mean, you can fake fossils, but you can never make it as good as the original, ever, by definition.
You can make something different, your interpretation of a fossil, but it's like everything, there is a...
Yeah, but if you give that fossil to a paleontologist, he or she will always see that it's fake. It's not real. Never see. Oh, okay. If they do that, then they're either disingenuous in there, or they're pressurized or something, or it's a media story or anything. But a real, normal, honest scientist would not say, "Oh yeah, this is real." The question is, of course, is there a controlled, like, society that decides on who is going to analyze and describe certain fossils? Because there are fake fossils, for sure. The question is, and it's really good to assume that all fossils are fake, because you can find fossils yourself, so that's bullshit. I mean, if someone claims that, then sorry, there's no discussion possible. Right? Rainbows are fake, you know, I mean, come on.
To be honest, the existence of a dinosaur fossil, I cannot prove 100%. But the existence of fossil themselves, I can prove them 100%, at least for myself. So I'm totally believing that there is a possibility that...
Where comes this thing? Why dinosaur? What is so special about dinosaurs? Why only dinosaurs? What is... I mean, are pterosaurs and ichthyosaurs and other reptiles which are not dinosaurs, are they fake too, or are they real, or how is it working? I mean, you know what I mean?
It would take so much time to make a distinction for each and every found in the end. So of course there are fake fossils, but I'm totally...
It's like saying... All history written in Cyrillic is fake, somehow or so. Yeah, I mean that is. And then what? What is? What the other fossils? Are they real? Are they also fake? I mean, what is? I get no explanation for these simple questions. This is a very normal, simple question, right? Sorry.
Like I said, the only thing I can prove for myself is that fossils are real. So, and then I don't really see the whole point of inventing this whole bestiary of animal that will never have existed. You know, it's a lot of work for not that much of a result in the end.
I find the paleontology very interesting. I'm not a paleontologist myself. I study I've analyzed fossils, but I'm not a paleontology expert or something. But, yeah, I've read a lot of publications, and, yeah, sometimes I have found fossils, pictures, and then I think, okay, this I don't believe. It's a completely articulated animal, and in a mudstone or sandstone, and that is not likely that would ever happen, let alone finding a fossil of that, and not one example, but there are more examples. That is, no. Fossils are usually fragmented things, and you have to puzzle something out of it. It's an interpretation, and if you ask a real paleontologist, he or she will always say that. It's an interpretation. It's a puzzle. What most people only get is the view from National Geographic and Discovery Channel and Disney, which is just some kind of creepy version of what paleontology or geology or whatever is like. It's bullshit. I mean, it's like every physicist is like Neil deGrasse Tyson. No, of course not. I mean,
yes, and they find in the movies, they always find the complete animal or a skeleton. And only the interesting part, you know? They don't get just one vertebrae or something like that, you know?
No, that's the thing. Then I become suspicious because I have found not many vertebrate fossils, but I've seen, like I said many times, I've seen bones and eggs attributed to dinosaurs in the field, in the rock formation, in the geology, in the mountain. Not in a park, not in a museum, in the rock itself. And, but okay, if they're not dinosaurs, then what are they? They're eggs and they're bones, clearly, fossils. So if they're not dinosaurs, okay, fine, well, hey, what are they then? It's a fair question, right? Hey.
Yes, and to what end were they put there in the end? If they are
put
not...
Put there, but
yes, if they were put there by someone in some nefarious intention, I fail to see the point.
Gary, we're talking about, I mean, you have to, this is bigger than the stuff in where is it? Baalbek, right? And this is like a complete part of the mountain. You have to somehow get there from somewhere in the middle of the Pyrenees, man. I mean, come on, what are you talking about, man?
yes, that would be almost
unbelievable. Hey, come on. Along the road, I'm sure, there, close to Geneva, you have exposure of rock where you find at least ammonites and other fossils, right? It's the Jura Mountains.
Yes. Not
that's
that
where the name Jurassic comes from. I mean, that's where the Jurassic comes from, right?
Yes, but in the end, it's like everything. People take the information from the mainstream and movies, so if you speak about fossil, people think Jurassic Park, and they don't
I know.
Imagine
yeah.
that there are something else, that dinosaur that could be fossilized or whatever.
That movie alone made the years 94 and 95, the biggest year, and 96 as well, still, the biggest years in geology in history of the university. And I was 97 after that, and we were the smallest year in years. So that movie was very important for geology as a subject in Holland because there are only two universities with geology. Not like here in Colombia where you have like six or seven. And in
Switzerland, the
best geologists in the world are Swiss. Ask
really?
Any geologist and they will say that. Yes, and I'm honest. It's true.
That makes sense. Because it's a small country, but many different type of grounds are represented.
It's a very complex puzzle. I mean, I don't know the Alps that much. The Pyrenees I know very well, but the Alps, not much. But the general idea, yes. But your area is very complex. A lot of thrusting, lots of different sheets of rock thrusting over each other. It makes it very complex to study, and so, yeah, of course, you become very good at it. No, but really, in all my jobs I've had, always Swiss geologists, and I spoke to other people, and they say the same thing. So it's, no, definitely, and you see it in publications as well, and so. There's actually a Chilean geologist, but I think he's Austrian or German. Well, I have to look up him. I am. Many of the early geologic mapping, also here in Colombia, were done by Germans.
Yes, but in many countries that's the case, that the first measurements were done by foreigners.
Yeah, of course. They were the best geologists of the time. They were the best.
Yes. And in some countries, they were the only one, even.
Yes, yes. The Dutch geology was really starting like 20s and 30s.
If you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the Fakeologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription or one-time donation. Thank you for your support.
Yeah,
but the thing is that in Switzerland it's not that that much costly to get an higher education.
No.
We went over that with Laura Mars on a previous audio.
Yes,
return letter in or not, I cannot recall, but the thing is that we went over the cost of an higher education in Switzerland versus United States. And,
no, Holland used to be the same when I was studying, same like Switzerland. Similar at least. US is a different piece of cake, yes, or another piece of cake actually. It is a different pie altogether. And here's like a mixture of both. I mean, higher education, a good university or a university that is considered like good is expensive. But in geology, you have good alternatives in Bucaramanga. That's a very good university. So, very costly education here. Not like in Europe. Not at all.
But it's a different system in Europe. I think that they think that you will profit society in the end, but it's a different mentality in Northern America, at least, where they see the monetary gain. So they are kind of taking their cut on your future earnings.
Yes, yes. Yeah, very much. Yeah, I tried to look that up. What is the student debt? And I don't remember what it was.
I think it was something in the area of $200,000 for a college degree, but I can be wrong.
Really? Wow.
I think it was something like that. But it depends, of course. It totally depends on which place you choose to study and what you choose to study also.
Yeah, that would be like a Harvard degree or so, I would say, like Ivy League or something, or I would say, because otherwise,
yes,
how can someone afford that? It's impossible.
You took a loan.
Sorry?
You take a loan, and then you're fucked.
Yeah, of course. I know how it works, yeah, of course. I know how they situate
yes, I know that
at
you know.
Present, but yeah.
I was just saying it out loud, that it's so it is, in the end.
Sure.
It's very difficult to make a profit out of it. We'll have to find a high-paying job directly out of school.
Study not in the U.S.
There's
so many possibilities elsewhere. And the U.S. Americans have some countries where they are not really welcome. That's for sure. But still.
Yes, there is a lot of possibility to study abroad. It is in Europe or whatever. But I don't know, I really don't know how is the prestige of having a foreign degree, you know, versus an American degree. I don't know if those people are like...
It is what you care for, man. I mean, I think it has a lot of prestige in having foreign experience because it makes you a lot better person. Much richer, much wiser, much more knowledgeable. And that period is more important than the studies itself.
Oh, yes, totally. But I think in the eyes of the Endon Hunter, for example, you know, I don't really know.
In the eyes of stupid people, there are people who walked on the moon 50 years ago almost.
Yes, and they saw that on TV. My mother watched that at the time.
Yes. My parents too, and my parents-in-law as well, and I convinced both of my parents-in-law, at least, that it was one big movie set, so it is not impossible, and it's
not too hard either,
right? A reasonable person will acknowledge, okay, I fell for this, right?
Yes, and we all fell for this at one point.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the whole thing. I mean, it's like Santa Claus. Or the equivalent for us, the original Santa Claus. It was not Santa Claus, Santa Claus. Santa Claus was the amalgamation of so many different traditions and cultures. A bishop on a white horse riding the rooftops with his black beads, black from the chimneys they were cleaning, and the outfits they were wearing were from Venice, Italy, and they were throwing presents into the chimneys, and read poems for Sinterklaas and carrots for the horse. And then at the 5th of December, he would come to your house with a big book. And in that book was written what happened across the year. And then you went over that with Sinterklaas, with Zwarte Piet, or more Zwarte Piet, with him, with gifts and with candy. And then, you were analyzing the year with Sinterklaas. And then you get your presents for the year. That is Sinterklaas in Holland for children.
Oh, that would be an horrible system for me, because by the end of January I would have totally fucked up, and I will not care of being good for the rest of the year, because I knew that it was already over just in January, you know.
No, I think the educational value of this is pretty strong, and deep in your heart you know that too, Jarrus.
Yes, of course. I'm just joking. Of course, it's a great thing to explain to children that you might be accountable for what you do in the years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's a good preparation for a tax system.
This education alone, it stands by itself. However, it's used by other people. Okay, that is a different thing, right?
It's a positive thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, it's totally positive to show kids that your action can bring you good or bad things.
Consequences. Like you said, accountability. And that is the exact thing that this group of negatives, these reptilians, these Satanists, these however you want to call them, I mean, there's no, doesn't depend on the name, they are all but accountable for anything, right? That is the divide in society.
Yes, mainly it's like either you are good or bad, but you learn later in life that it's not that simple. But it's good for children to have a distinction between the two.
Yes, for sure. Yeah, of course. Otherwise, you shouldn't have education at all. And education, I mean, raising a child, right? What education is. Not this school system. Not this prison guarded bully bullshit system. No.
Yes, but it's difficult to go against school education. It's an indoctrinement that is very, very powerful.
I understand that, yes. And it's scary. It is.
Yeah.
For me, it's worse than vaccination. Really, I mean, you see your child being bombarded with poisonous information. Also good information, it's not like, it's not important to learn chemistry and physics and biology and stuff like that, but all these historical narratives, and that also comes back in language, and it's more than just history class, and this whole cloud of lies, right? And that is, I understand it's extremely hard to fight, but that would be the ideal, to have just an online education system among us.
Yes, but the thing is that what is very, very difficult to consider is that it's the child that has to go to school every day, so...
What? Is there a law in Switzerland? Is there a law in Switzerland to homeschool against homeschooling your child?
Oh no! You can totally homeschool your children. It's just that it's very costly and
Garris. What is costly? What is costly? How can it be more costly to not pay into the school system than to pay?
Maybe
to homeschool, but.
In a sense that you should subscribe to a program, and I think that it will be costly.
Is there a special program if you want to homeschool your own child in Switzerland?
I think that there is some things, at least some equivalence in place, you know.
We're talking about an equilibrium kind of style dystopian movie? If you decide to homeschool your child, you have to follow a program with what? With a teacher's specific teacher, then it's not homeschooling, right?
No, not maybe specific teachers, but maybe in the end, to take an example, your child might have to take some kind of an history test with someone other than you, just to make sure that he is on point.
Fine.
And the thing is that they might ask him about something, like, for example, 9/11.
And so what? there's nothing against sharing what other people say happened on that day, right? And if you're let's say you're religious, there's nothing against sharing what other religions say or so. I mean, let's see what are we talking about.
Oh, I think that it's, at least in Switzerland, I think that if you were to talk anything else than the official story about 9/11 to your child before they are wise enough to not speak about that in front of anyone, you might end up in big trouble, to be honest.
What? Why?
Yes. Oh, they will call Child Protection Service and they will start to investigate until they find something. And believe me, they will find something.
Why?
Especially if you are homeschooling your children.
But why homeschool? What is wrong with teaching your child that when he or she gets examined by this whatever authority you subscribe to, or this the Swiss system is, that he or she answers, and there's only he or she, and confused, but that's only he or she, but that they have to subscribe to a certain narrative which they can answer. What is wrong with that?
To be honest, it's very difficult. I don't know. It's very difficult in the sense that, firstly, it will be telling your children to lie, which is not a problem in itself, because you can always rationalize this,
but what alternative do you see? I'm sorry, but what alternative do you see? Are you telling your child then that the official version is right? I mean, what are you telling your own child a lie. What do you prefer? What?
It's a great question. The thing is that I will tell you the what I believe is the truth, but not until they are old enough to understand that wisely. Because of course you can tell your 8-year-old children that the world is a lie and.
That is why you're a parent. That is you define the right moment for that.
Yes, exactly. But it's very difficult, and that's the discussion that we had with John Lebon, I think, on that subject.
I understand it is difficult as a parent. I understand that, but that is the challenge in our own lives, right? I mean, now knowing what we know, you're not telling your child lies, right? And you're telling.
Oh, I am telling so many lies to my child. One more will not kill them. No, I'm joking. But to be honest, the thing is that I will tell them the truth,
there is a fundamental difference that you're not going to tell, I just smoked a joint just 5 minutes ago. That is not what you're going to share, but it's not lying to his... No, sorry, I mean... don't hide behind that, but you're not saying, people went to the moon, to your child, right?
It's a very difficult question. The thing is that you want to tell them the truth, but to tell them these type of things...
Stop there! There's no but! Stop there!
Yes, there is a but, because the thing is that you want your child to have a normal life, a social life, not be an outcast, so it's very difficult to... find the right moment, because if you tell your child those kind of things too soon, you can very well end up having a paranoid, outcast children, a loner that keep to yourself,
each age of a child has a certain phase, and children at a certain age, I know, because I've been a child at that age, start to ask a lot of questions. From that moment on, that child shows that he or she is curious, wants to know things. From that moment on, you as a parent And I understand if you had children before the moment you woke up, there is no way back. And I'm not judging anything, any of that. Uh-huh. But, if you have children right now and then you are in an awoken state, you know that there are so many lies told, then you have to be honest with your child and prepare him or her at the same time of living in a world full of lies. That is the task you have as a parent.
Yes, that's the challenge.
It's my world, right? And it's
yes,
a challenge.
A challenge.
Of course it's a challenge. And I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not speaking from any authority myself or so at all. But it is, objectively speaking, what we need to do with our children, right? I mean, with our own offspring, I would say. And I understand
yes,
that the challenge, I perfectly understand. I'm speaking from the luxury position of not having it, so...
Uh-huh. Yes, but like I said, it's a very, very difficult thing.
I fear that challenge, right? It's very hard.
As I see it, it's like you cannot really, really tell blankly a small child some things, but you can smallly, bit by bit, introduce them
exactly.
To the concept that the world is not what it seems to be.
That is how you explain things like rainbows and things like, things like physical things that are real and stuff like that, right?
Yes, exactly.
Biology, you go into the forest or to a park or to an area, right? They ask question about the birds or whatever, right? You tell what you know about these things. That is, and it is that kind of attitude and conversation you should have with your child about how the world really is and not how it is presented to us. And I understand the challenge, and I'm not saying it's easy or so or anything, but that is objectively what we should do. This is our only chance of changing the world, let's say, right? Our own offspring, our own family.
So, yes, that's the only way to change something into the world. That is clear.
Yeah, because, our own reach, right? And it's, beyond that, it's just people change kind of things, or sharing a huge thing or something like, oh, that's interesting. Yeah, and that is helpful. But main thing.
Yes, and the thing is that things go so fast. It's very difficult to have a common cultural reference with your children.
It's good. Good app. He's an expert on this subject. It's good.
Oh yes, he is.
Welcome, app. Oh, he is muted. Crack is muting app.
So yes, like I was saying, it's a difficult task, and it's a mixture of.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Hi, this is Chris Sion. You're listening to Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
Poseidon? What?
I did not catch the name.
Poseidon? Paul Simon? I don't know. What? And the other one was this lady from Dubai again. I never heard her. Heard her speak or chat or whatever. What do you mean?
I did catch her bumper once already.
Yeah, before, yeah, with the bumper, but no idea who she is.
I will just take a quick 5-minute break because I am outside and I get to go home just to load the phone.
Yes.
So
yes,
I will take 5 minutes, just five quick minutes.
Okay.
And I am back. Like I was saying, it's a difficult world to raise a child, but it is also a difficult world to have normal relationship with people. I don't know it was before, obviously, but at least for me, I think that it's very, very difficult to have a normal relation with people. People have a short temper those days, more and more. At least I see that in my personal life, but and I don't mean that in the violent way. People will not start to going fist at you for any or whichever reason. It's just that people in their private life seems to have less patience for one another. Anyway, that's how I see it, and that's what I feel from my interaction with different people. So anyway, what can you tell your child about fakeology, the fact that many world events are hoaxes and all that? It's very, very difficult to find the right balance between telling them the truth boldly and making their life even more difficult for some sort of reason, because in the end you don't know to say it. You believe what you want to believe, and of course you want your children to be informed and to know the truth. But yes, like I said, that's something I had the chance to discuss with John LeBon a few months back, and yes, it is it's good to be an army sometimes, you know? The real question is there. What you want for your children? Would you want them to know everything you know and live this life that is something sometimes lonely and difficult? Or would you want them to you know, be ignorant and live a happy life in the confines of the system and not having to ask the question that you're asking yourself daily? And no problem.
I was just going on about it for a bit more, so I was listening.
So yes, like I said, it's very difficult to find the right balance, and it's a decision that you have to take for your children in the end. What you want for them in the future? Would you want them to be really informed about anything, or would you want them to live in this ignorant bliss without knowing everything that is happening in the world? And live their own life. Who knows? What can I say? Who knows what the future holds for them? So you have to make a choice and decide what is better for them, and that is something that is really, really difficult. But yes, what you can or cannot tell your children, it's a big question. I would say that it's even the big question. At least,
I know what you're talking about. I mean, I was raised with one big lie, right? I mean, the big lie. The 6 million big lie, right?
Yes, but the thing is that it's like, of course, public schools are an horrible place, and I don't recommend it for anyone, but you get to face some difficulties and adversities in life.
It was not the public schooling. It was my family, right? And my grandfather, he must have known that his own parents and his own sister didn't die on the same day in Sobibor. He must have known that. And I think that is... I talked about that before somewhere. But, it was a taboo. We could not talk about it with him. He didn't want to touch anything Second World War. It was a complete taboo. So that was his way of hiding the truth.
That was his way of coping with the fact that he had to lie.
Yeah, yeah. And that, I mean, from his side, I mean, I can understand it. I mean, that is... Yeah, so many big consequences. And that is, I mean, if they are capable of doing that, because that is what all these families must have, right? I mean, all these families who didn't die in gas chambers that never were homicidal, right? All these families must have this secret, must know this secret, or the elder generation at least. I don't know if my parents knew this. I don't know.
Yes, but I think that it's something that in many families probably are said on a deathbed, you know, and maybe many people are knowing because, you know, their parent died and told them, okay, that story wasn't true. But I don't think that those children will say anything on the matter. You know, they will keep the lie alive rather than admit that the whole backstory of their family is a fabrication. And that's an identity also. In the end.
Yes.
Being the grandfather, the grandchild of Shoah survivor, it's an identity also.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So it would be very difficult for someone to renounce an entity, especially based on something that is always drawing compassion when you say it in public.
No, and that is exactly why that specific topic is so hardly punished, even by law. I don't know if every of these cases is a real case, especially I have my doubts about David Irving. But there are cases of people who are prosecuted because of this. And that is, they either change or even threatened, and then they quit, or they change their voice or whatever. Right? And it is,
yes, and people get attacked in real life. This guy that we were speaking about, Robert Forisson, he got attacked a few times in the street.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, as soon as those things happening, I mean, taking your YouTube channel down is a misfortune for us, but being threatened in the street and all that stuff, the thing is, that is what the media shows. They don't show that, but that is what happens. Right? And it's not that the world is some paradise because all these hoaxes are just hoaxes. No, the world is not such a paradise in many aspects, in certain families and all that. But that is hidden by these stories.
Yes, but in the end, though, I see it is just that the people on the good side changed from time to time. You know, if you take the 60s, 50s, it was the left side, the communists, that were the enemy. So all the people were mostly on the right side. But it's like everything. You need change. We are humans. So they changed the narrative. And now it's the lefties that are the good people and the people from the right that are supposed to be the bad one, or at least the less exposed on the mainstream. So all I see it is just... it's like playing chess, you know. Once you play with the white, you start the game, and then you play with the black.
Wait for the first move. A great metaphor. Yeah.
That's exactly the same thing. So I don't pay much attention to that because I see that it's a manipulation. It's like the overtly.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
It is weird magician psychopaths playing a game of voodoo chess on us.
Yes, and it's for the both sides, because it's like the overt transgender propaganda that we are witnessing. Uh-huh. It's for both sides. It's for the people that are stupid enough to buy it, and it's also for the people that will not buy it and will react in an outrageous way or start protesting or whatever.
We'll make it bigger than it is.
Exactly.
What is this, like 1 in 10,000 or 100,000 people, I say, what is it? This confusion. Yeah.
Yes, but
I understand children are confused, yes. But then the role of the parent is to explain that it's confusion, right? I'm 6 years old. I want to use your car. No, sorry, you're too young. That's not going to happen. No, yeah, but I can be whatever I want to be. Then the play is, oh, you're an age phobe, right? It is this pussifying and autistifying of this voodoo clown chess play world, really.
Yes, but in the end, I think that it's bound to happen that if you have much propaganda, you have more transgender people, but I don't think that it will be, a revolution, you know? Maybe it will be 2 for 10,000 people, but it would not be,
It is indeed also to keep people busy with something, but also to get people used more, and then maybe in 4 or 5 generations, something like that could happen, right? I mean, we don't know what they plan so far ahead, right? But they do. We know that they do. So.
Yes, maybe it will be a brave new world. People will not make children themselves.
I think Brave New World in 1984 described the world as it was already at that moment, in a certain way.
Yes, but it is, yes, of course it was.
And indeed, and the idea that this baby factories and so. Yeah, that could be. But yeah, it's so far ahead that I mean, it's working towards it, yeah. I think that's visible. This first transgenderism, then transhumanism and all this shit. And
yes,
getting as far away from nature as possible.
Oh yes, of course. Oh yes, of course. I think that if you were to ask people on the street 100 years ago how to gut a fish, most people will know to do it, but if you have to ask them now...
That is the exact, yes. Yeah.
And that's just a basic thing that you need to do to be able to survive yourself.
Mm.
But the parameters are different now.
No, that is very much what city life does. But yeah, true. And on the countryside, still, in every country, it's like people are very knowledgeable still about their environment. They have to be, right? If they're like working the land and so, or have cattle or whatever.
Oh yes, of course. Of course, it's mostly applied to city people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it's like everything. It goes on the country also, on a less bigger scale, because of course they are more relying on the land. But in the end, they still all have smartphone and spend less and less time watching what is around them.
In Dutch, there's a saying, and I love it, it's farmer's wisdom, and it's really true, right? They have such an understanding of the seasons, of the land, of the environment, so much, and also orientation most of the time, right? I mean, they have to, they depend on it, especially in the past, right? And I hope Mr. From the John Le Bon Academy is not denying that we all come from farmers mostly, right?
Yes, and no, the only responsibility you have is to pay the phone bill.
Mm. Mm. Yeah, or...
And then if you can pay the phone bill, you have access to internet and...
Or some guards to keep the Mapuche away from your lake.
Yes, exactly. But the guard needs to pay the phone bill to have access to internet.
Exactly, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's it.
So that is the main problem, and I don't think that going back to tribalism or living out of the land is a realistic possibility.
I think it's a beautiful idea, but it is the implementation part of it. Yeah, has some challenges, but I think people who do it, I think it's really cool and supported, of course.
Yes, they tried something like that in Cambodia in the 70s and 80s, but it was not a big success.
Where?
In Cambodia. They
Cambodia?
Tried to start,
Wait a minute. I'm talking about voluntary, without a socialist, bullshit, autocratic thing above you. No. I mean, like a hippie commune is supposed to be. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. I know.
I'm all in favor of that. Of course.
Yes, if it's voluntary, of course. But yes, there is at least an historical example of forcing people to try to live off the land and
that did not go well. Well, I mean, there's so much to learn from the Russian history, I think, but it's such an area we don't know anything about, right? Because it's all in Russian or Cyrillic or whatever, right? But they have so much history and insight in plots and so, in the rich history of the Russian Empire.
Yes, and it's a big collection of different tribes.
Yeah,
and,
yes.
But the thing is that, like you say, it's very hermetic because the barrier of the language.
Mm, yeah. I see it now with this Patagonia stuff. Right? It's 95% Spanish. It's easy Spanish, so if you know a bit of Spanish, you can follow it. It's not like super duper difficult, 100%, but difficult. So.
But yes, like you said, it's in one sense, it's almost normal that it's mostly in Spanish language. I was really surprised that one of the greatest articles was in French.
Which one was
but
it?
But that is also, that is the article from the newspaper Le Temps.
Le Temps.
About the,
yes.
That specific article. And I was really surprised that those people put such a good article. But the thing is that in all reality, if you consider it, it's something that is common here to kind of take on the fight of the small people and whatever. Nowadays, it's the Rohingya tribes, if you ever heard the name.
Yeah.
So those are the people that the nice people of Europe, or at least France, have taken upon to help in some sort of way.
That's in Myanmar, if I'm not mistaken, right?
No? Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it is. And those are the people that are mentioned in the media.
Sorry. Did you know that they have a new capital there? Hey, it's not Rangoon. That used to be the capital. It's not anymore. There's a new capital. I don't know the name, but it's some name from Burmese language. But they have a complete new capital.
What I thought was wonderful was that they got this lady, this British lady at that, Aung San Suu Kyi, and they made such a character of that lady, that she's so great, that she's so wonderful and whatever. And then she gets in power, and what we get? A genocide of her tribe.
Really?
So I thought that it was just
really?
The Rohingya are getting genocided, and they are getting deported. Supposedly, they are getting deported and sent somewhere else. So.
What is there? Mining, probably?
Wait.
Breaking up big time here. Hello?
Is it better now?
I hope. Keep talking.
Yes, no, I can hear you better.
Yeah.
So like I said, it was hilarious that this lady that got the Nobel Prize for Peace is responsible for the extermination of tribesmen.
Yeah, that is what it is. From the clown's world, psychopathic perspective, that makes perfect sense. That is... These kind of things are the confirmation for the clown world. You see what I mean? It is so insane, so under normal logic, what most humans, to a certain degree, practice, right? It is so insane, but they do it. That is this clown world, that is the people who are controlling us, people who think like that. Yes,
I'm still here. I've lost you for a second. I did not hear the last sentence.
This clown world is about that. It's awarding peace prizes to genocidal maniacs. Exactly. But that makes perfect sense from the perspective of a psychopath. And that is a confirmation of this clown world. These reptilians, these nematodes, whatever you want to call them. Right? These guys. These people. These people. I think they're still humanoid. I think we all come from primate ancestors, is my view. And I think they do too.
Yes, I am not sure that they at least once nominated Henry Kissinger for this prize. So.
Yeah, I know. No, he got it. For the...
I got it?
For the ending the Vietnam War. That was the thing, right? You told me. Or who did? Was it Noyce? Was it you? You told me, I think.
Yeah. I was not sure.
It was Noyce.
I think it was Noyce, probably.
Yeah.
So he did have it even.
I mean, the European Union, Barack Obama, our former president here, got the Nobel Peace Prize for the peace process with the FARC and the ALN-19. I think things have changed for sure, but it's just like, okay, a little bit of different control here and there, right? It's the same cocaine machine is running. That's the whole driving force for this whole war since 1948. So there is an official peace process or peace deal and so, but yeah, there are still things happening, and blah, blah, and the FARC is not listening to the peace treaty, and blah, blah, I don't know. But, yeah, there are local kidnappings and so on, and they're real. I mean, people get really kidnapped, and I know a personal account of that from a friend of mine. Not her, but her family. But she couldn't go there to her grandparents in that area because of that. So she came from that area, but she studied here and later worked in Tana. She couldn't go back there. So yeah, no, it's... and that's the thing, this fakeology thing. I mean, here it's... They just do things much more than just complete theater. I mean, like really the Sandy Hook kind of things, you don't have it here. It's not here. Here they do real militaristic control. This is absolutely happening. I mean, I don't see the helicopters right now, but they surely will come over in 1 and 1.5 hours.
Yes, and it totally depends in the end how many people you want to implicate on your hoax and... What following things you want to do? Did you want to have some sort of a real or supposed real perpetrator that you want to show in court? Or is the guy supposed to be dead? You know, all those parameters change from time and even country to country, you know. You also take the cultural aspect in,
yeah,
you know,
and
if you have to have some kind of
yeah, please.
It's like if you get a hoax in England, it's very, very, very unlikely that it's a shooting because that's less in the culture. So it will be a stabbing or a bomb or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Shit, I lost what I wanted to say. It is, yeah. What they do is they exaggerate stories. And that's how... I think things like that really happen, but not to the scale they maybe portray in the media, or they use certain accounts to hide other accounts, to play kind of a cat and mouse game or so, I don't know. Is these heads on sticks and so in Mexico, like really brutal mutilations and so on, ritual stuff. I mean, there is a lot of, what's it called, santerismo? I think it's called Santerismo. It is like voodoo. What voodoo is in is what Santerismo is in the Spanish speaking part of the Caribbean and Mexico. And so, and yeah, there are elements of ritual killings and so in the story. But yeah, that could well be true. I completely believe that happens. I mean, you see these tattoos and they're real and so. Pretty dark world. So yeah, that's mostly just as bad as in the States. Garrus, are you still there?
Yes, there is some horrible place in the world, some horrible people also, and it will be kind of an angelic view to say that there is no conflict and everything. It's totally ridiculous, makes no sense.
No, yeah, I mean, it's easy to say that on the attic. But it's much harder if you say that in Pedro Sula. But you know, Pedro Sula?
Yes, and the case is that,
in Honduras.
Yes, and the fact is that individuals also are totally different from one to another. You know, some people, you can take their more precious belongings and they will not even defend themselves. And some other people, just for a parking spot, they can stab you in the neck without an hesitation.
Yes.
So
yes. Very true, very true.
So with that big of a spectrum of people, you know.
I just defend my red pumas.
So yes, with such a big spectrum of individual, you can expect anything at any time.
Yes. That's key. That's absolutely
important. And that's not even factoring in alcohol or drugs.
No, yes. Yeah. True. Yeah, of course, it alters even within the population, the amount of diversity. And I think the drug with the least problems for other people is existing. There's no comparison.
With the less problem, you mean?
Yes, for other people, to other people.
Yes, at least when the drug is in effect. But yes, to other people, there is not that many problem, not any, to be honest. No. But it's just that if you take ecstasy, you kind of have a tendency to feel like shit the next day.
Yeah.
Except from that.
The Tuesday dip, right? Mm-hmm. Can you call it in Dutch, or Dinsdag dip, which sounds much better in Dutch. It's, like 2 days afterwards. Yeah, but you have to eat a lot of bananas. That's it. Eat bananas before and afterwards. Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, but most of the food that we eat are containing potassium, so eat a lot.
Yeah, but bananas,
you don't like bananas.
Specifically, you don't like bananas?
To be honest, I don't really like bananas. I am really strange because what I am really enjoying is the fake banana taste that I am crazy for, but the banana itself, not so much.
What? Oh, but do you get good bananas in Geneva? Probably that is a problem there. I can understand. Yeah, great.
If you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the Fakeologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription or one-time donation. Thank you for your support.
That's a good point, Gerrit. Thinking about what are the biggest wars about a product which is not drugs, mostly opium. It's the banana wars, right?
Yes, I speak that about that on one of my first audio on Fakeologist. Is the Jacob Arbenz character?
Part of it. Yeah, please go on.
The guy was the son of at least one Swiss parent and. Maybe two, but at least one that emigrated to Guatemala. And he did grow up to become the president of the state, and he was overthrown by a conspiration led by the CIA and United Fruit,
yes.
Which is a Chiquita banana nowadays.
And who was the guy what is his name?
The guy that got ousted, that was the president.
Yes.
Jacobo Arbenz.
Yes, yeah, I've read it, but mixing up things. But yeah, okay, Jacobo Arbenz, yes. There's a lot of dirty play going on. That is the point. This guy, that is why he got this Nobel Peace Prize. Not because of this peace deal, but because he is the one who let Monsanto and other big businesses in, because suddenly we had Starbucks in Colombia, and it's like, hey, it's like starting a South African chain of cheese in Switzerland as well, right? Or in France. It's ridiculous. So we have Juan Valdez and Oma, which is Starbucks, same concept, but it was here before Starbucks came. But yeah, it became very hip, of course, to go to Starbucks. But that, on the back of that came Monsanto and GMO and this industry and all this sellout of lands and all that shit. Same thing as what they do in Patagonia, but there they do it differently, because this is the thing about Chubut. If Chubut prohibits the use of glyphosate, but at the same time Monsanto wants to build a plant far away in Cordoba, and then you see what is happening, because this is not happening in other parts of the world.
Yes, but it's the same everywhere. And it's
the same everywhere?
In most places in the world, it's the same. There is some pocket of resistance, but the world...
No. Oh, that's not what is happening here. Huh? No. Chubut.
There's no Starbucks.
It's about the Patagonian side. In Chubut province, they forbade glyphosate, right? Monsanto's evil stuff.
Yes, but they did that in the European Union also, I think.
Yes? They did?
Yes, at least in France. I am almost certain that they did that in France.
Well, then, yeah, is it in European... Yeah, okay, is it the European Union or is it the country?
I am not sure about the European Union, but I am almost sure about...
France. Okay, that's good.
Yes.
That's good.
But anyway, if they forbid that special chemical, they will end up inventing something else, you know. They are always on the head of the curve.
No,
they will never,
Garris, what I think is happening here is they want to live in an organic world. And rightly so, because that is the natural way. They are following that and want to have that there. They are not wanting GMO shit. They are not wanting... I mean, there is some oil production. There's quite a lot of oil production, but it's quite restricted. And most, it's partly offshore as well, so it's not really very visible. It is there, but not very visible in such a big piece of land. So they want to keep it clean there and green, and rightly so, for the complete right reasons. But the thing is, the same company in another part of the same country wants to push a GMO plant where there are protests for 2 years already with people dying and so on. I mean, clown world, from a clown world perspective, it makes sense. Okay, so there it is. I am muted. Okay.
Yes,
yeah,
I'm sorry.
No problem.
Yes, like you said, it's the same everywhere, but there are, how can I say, the... I think that they are ahead of the curve, like I said. I think that they are already working, or they are already have the next thing, and they don't really rely on the specific glyphosate or those things, you know?
Yeah, but I think...
They only want it on specific places, you know? Especially Eastern Europe.
Mendoza, all the wineries, right? All the vineyards, this is organic stuff mostly, right? I mean, there's some spraying and so, I mean, it is pretty close to nature compared to a corn machine of the Midwestern U.S., come on. There's quite a difference between it, right? I'm not glorifying one or so, I mean, that's not the point, but it's pretty, yeah, organic, mostly. What probably is not is the cattle farm, I mean, because Argentina is... number one in meat, right? Especially beef.
Yes, but how can I see it? It's like, I don't think that they really care about growing organic food in China, for example.
No, but in China, people are not buying pieces of land to settle there, to have the tranquility of the place where they're settling, because that's what they're doing, right? And rightly so, again.
Yes, it depends. It totally depends on the... which place you are in the world, and who is buying the food, and who is consuming it. Of course, the people at the top, they don't want to eat shitty food. And that's why I have a really hard time believing in chemtrails, because who will be stupid enough to poison the air?
No, exactly. I agree with you completely. And my point is, what I think, you know what I think so-called chemtrails are, right? It's good to bring that up, because I want to talk about it. It's great, man. Actually, we see it. We can see it every day. You have used Google Earth satellite view, right? In your life, once or twice.
At least once. Like everyone.
At least once. Yeah, I mean, it's hard to find anyone in the modern world, probably, who has not done that, right? Who has used the internet. There is a difference between the different layers of zoom you see, right? The lowest layer of zoom in certain areas, right, is street view, right? But above that, you have the general view where you can recognize houses and cars and trees and all that stuff. That is that layer. If you go up from that layer, that is not a photo. Eh? What you see is not a photo. It is a computer-generated image, so CGI by definition. It is a... What I think it is using the pattern of the pixels below it. So at the resolution, they take photos, so the where we see the houses and trees and all that, and they morph that into a
into a pattern in on a bigger scale. So it's an,
you mean
it's
like a composite of
yes,
of those pixels.
Yeah, but it's not a real photograph of that at that level. And if you zoom out even farther, then you see the cartoonesque globe, right? That is completely not non-resistant, and that is interpretation mostly, right?
Yes.
That is how Google Earth and Google Satellite Field Maps works. But they need so-called satellites to take these images. That's what they claim. But what they do is they take high-flying airplanes and balloons, and we have example of a balloon that crashed in Brazil, and that was this kind of stuff. I don't know which camera and which company was behind it and all that. I don't know the details of that, but high-flying planes, and that is what chemtrails are. That is exactly what we were talking about. That's what I asked my father when we were looking up in the sky, and I saw so-called chemtrails. I saw trails that were existing in the sky much longer than other planes. That my father said, he spoke the truth. He said, those are very high-flying planes. And yes, they are, because those are the planes that take the so-called satellite data of Google Earth and Google Maps satellite view. And that is why you see zigzag patterns with so-called chemtrails, because that is the best way to take photos of an area and to make composites of it, of things, right? And that's what you see in the acquisitions on Google Earth, especially, if you use Google Earth, the program, then you see certain, it's rectangles, rectangular areas where you have certain differences of overlays, of photographic layers of different times and different resolutions, right? You've seen that, you've used it.
Yes, but they will tell you that it's an obligation to have some kind of computer rendering of the image and whatever. And they can always invoke some kind of technological reason for the, you know. So I am totally with you on that. But it's just that they will always have a way to explain it away.
Yeah, of course. But you see my point. You see these chemtrails only with clear sky. And when do you want satellite photos, so-called satellite photos, with clear sky, right? Then you see the most things. And if you want to poison the people, you would do that, especially with cloudy skies, because then A, people don't notice it, and B, it spreads around much better with the rain, with the clouds, right?
Yes, yes, I really don't subscribe in the chemtrail theory. There's absolutely no base in reality for me.
In using it as a poisoning thing. I mean, I think I've read on Clueswarm, I think Simon Schecht thinks that they spray certain chemicals in the air for communication, like electromagnetic communication, like cell phone towers, and I don't know, all that kind of stuff. And it might well be, I don't know much about that, so it might well be, make sense. I mean, the chemically, and so I can understand that happens, yeah. And that is to explain the barium and lithium and whatever you have in these samples, right?
Yes, but that's a different reason than just poisoning the air for nefarious intent. But I don't believe
that is ridiculous. I mean, why would they ever, especially with clear sky? That's my point. This is my whole point, right? I mean, if they would do that, they would do it in secret and not making it clear to everyone to see, right? This is poisoning you and ourselves, and everybody needs to see it. And no. That story was invented to hide, and that is how they operate. From a psychopathic clown's world perspective, it makes perfect sense. They want to hide the fact, the observation, the lines in the sky. They are there. They're obviously there. And they can only be caused by flying planes. I will explain later. But to hide that fact, they have to invent a story, and they better invent a story which is crazy and untrue than tell the truth about it, that there are high-flying planes. And there must be high-flying planes, because the higher you go, the colder it gets, mostly, and the less dense the air gets. So the exhaust from the airplane has a much bigger difference with the environment higher up than at the altitude, the cruising altitude of 11 kilometers, more or less, right? So the higher you go, the more disequilibrium there is between the exhaust gas and the sky, the air, that it takes much longer to resolve that, and that's why you see these lines for a much longer period. It's like crystallized stuff, I imagine, right? So, but it's high-flying paint. And my father was right. And that he must have heard that as an explanation in that time. In this was in, I asked this question when I was 4 or 5. So it was in 1984, probably. Mm-hmm. Coincidentally. No, but, yeah, you know, so that was the explanation he gave. And that always stayed with me. And, yeah, it's true. That is what it is. And now I understand. Okay, yeah, I mean, they need these photos. These photos are real, right? I've seen my own car at my parents' house, where I rarely was, and I saw this car there standing on Google Earth or Google Maps or satellite. I don't know, but it's real photos. So how do they acquire it, and how do they process it with the other layers? And yeah, they must use the real photos for the higher layers, because then they can map out or get
the thing is that
the big, just finish the Amazonian like rainforest burn and so. I mean, that is real huge terrain that is just disappearing a lot about per year. So they have to explain that in a bigger overview, right? If you zoom out from the photo resolution, then you come to a different view, and then you must have a change, at least in color, for this effect, right? Sorry, please.
Yes, totally. Just like what I wanted to say is that my grandfather worked his whole life in aviation, and
nice.
It's a shame that he died when I was 20, so I did not have the chance to have the big conspiracy talk with him on the aviation. But the thing is that, as far as I know, he never mentioned to me anything about some shady dealings with aviation or something like that. But he did work from some private companies that were doing some high-end charter flights. So it was different than the commercial airlines. But he never did mention to me, to be honest, once anything shady going on.
Drug dealers on the plane as well.
Exactly. To be honest, probably that kind of thing, and Arabian Prince and those kind of people that can afford to book a flight just for themselves.
Yeah.
Well, but he was a mechanician.
Of course. Hey, if you would have some money, come on. Hey, do we want to go this afternoon to Milan? Yeah, okay. And then let's sleep in Madrid, right? If you say that, if you can do it, why not? I mean, of course.
Yes. Yes.
It's nice to go by train and through the countries or by car. It's great as well, right? And,
But he did have the chance to participate in some great aeronautical adventures, like first jet fighters to come in Switzerland to be used by the Swiss Army Air Force. So
there was like late 40s,
Yes, late 40s to early 50s, it was some De Havilland Vampires and De Havilland Venom.
Do you know who was behind the development of?
No,
I also don't know, but I mean, that's the thing. There's an Argentinian fighter jet. Right? Probably nobody knows about that. I mean, nobody knows about Plan Patagonia, but. And it was developed by the Nazis. It's no secret. I mean, it's completely out there. Under Perón, they designed a complete fighter jet, an Argentinian fighter jet. They used
apparently. I knew about the plane because my grandfather was so about aviation, he bought me a book of side views of fighter plane of the world. And there was this famous plane from Argentina, I think, but I am not sure.
Oh,
the story sounds familiar to me.
Yeah, this was a question that came up today in some chat.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
I'm narrating. You listen to Freakologist Radio at Freakologist.com.
Again? I don't know. Who it is?
But I rate these breaks. I completely forgot. Oh, fuck.
But yes, strangely enough, Saab is buying some very good jet fighters, and the Swiss government were in negotiation to buy Saab, but that fell through because of some budget problem.
Oh yeah, the project that is still ongoing in Holland. It is literally, and that is also why there is a conspiracy around on Wim Fortuyn. I think he faked his death. I'm positive he faked his death. But there was a whole conspiracy around it, which is true. It's about these fighter jets. They're still developing, the Americans, apparently. And it's probably just a complete hoax, the whole plane. Because it is ongoing for 15, no, it is more, like 20 years.
The F-35?
Yes, the Joint Strike Fighter. Right?
Yes.
And it's probably it's just a narrative. The whole plane doesn't exist. I think so. And this is just like, yeah, we need money for that, and already for 20 years. Huh? If you really need the thing. Yeah, but it's still a development. Yes. Oh, it's still a development. It's still a development. I mean, if you would hire a painter or so at your home, and yeah, I'm still painting. Yeah, no, still not finished. Yeah, and if you, after 4 weeks, you would throw him out, right? I mean, come on. What are we talking about? Things like that, from a clown's perspective, makes perfect sense. But from a normal perspective, it is so insane, right?
Yes, it makes no sense to develop such a plane in such a long time, and I add the reasoning that it looked strangely like F-22, so if I think that maybe the F-35 is just a modified F-22 that they get to fly and say, okay, we're working on this and continuing to spend money on something that is not really existing in the end.
Yeah, but the thing is, in our own lives, and that's the thing, I mean, things like this can wake up people. I mean, there are enough people who know about all this, the official version, and so, but they are also like, I mean, what the fuck is happening here, right? And then you can find an entrance to explain, okay, yeah, in this clown world perspective, yeah, I mean, you cannot start with the whole clown world thing, just like what we talked about with children. I mean, it's not, you're not imposing a worldview on a child, but you're trying to take the child with you in your own worldview. I think that's the best to describe.
There is also a funny story is that they used the F-117, I'm sorry, against the Iraqis in the Gulf War, and the Iraqis were supposed to have this crazy anti-aerial defense, and ever since the German in World War II and whatever.
Yeah, I mean,
and
all
they
these
never cuts, get
cuts,
yes,
rockets,
cut missiles, and they myself never get to shut down on one an F-117. But
no, but
interestingly
was easy,
enough,
F-117,
the stealth one, you know.
Yeah, the stealth one, yeah, the black one.
Exactly.
Right?
No. But interestingly enough, a few months or a few years after, the Serbian, of all people, shut down one. And what the Americans said was that they shut down this airplane with some archaic material, so they cannot foresee that the Serbians still use those kind of missiles.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. I understand, yes. So it was compatible with the later version, but not with the earlier version. Yes,
exactly.
It's these analogs that make it so clear, right? How they work, how they operate. Yeah. Okay.
So yes, there is a lot of funny stories like that that they use for different things and every and in the end, I also remember that. Of all places, there was a factory, the plane factory in the USA in the World War II, but the name escapes me, that were designing this fighter plane for 2 full years, knowing that it will never
anything,
just to avoid building some B-17 or B-29 parts, you know, because over scheduled and they don't want to build something, so they created this kind of mythical fighter plane that was supposed to go at high altitude and whatever. And they work on this thing for 2 full years.
Yeah, yeah.
Without any result.
That is true. Oh, yeah, I remember. I watched these videos. I think it's almost a year, maybe 10 months ago. I watched these videos about all these failures in aviation. World War II, the Allies, of the Nazis, of the Soviets, and so. And yeah, there was. I remember this story vaguely from there, yeah. And there's so many of these. Oh, it's. I don't know. There is so many of the story. And the thing is, real people are involved and real people die. I mean, that is.
Yes, it's like but some things also go with the bigger pictures because if you take one example, it's the Messerschmitt 262, you know, the first efficient fighter plane ever.
Yes.
And if you were to believe the official story, some people were dumb enough while they were bombarding day and night. It was not to be used as an interceptor.
The factory, yeah.
Yes. Just put bomb on this thing and
yes.
You get the best fighter ever and you want to load that with bombs. It makes no sense.
Yeah, exactly. No, it was with Hiroshima and Nagasaki was about that. In 1965, it was back to the normal population. In 1959 or so, there were like 5 million tourists a year to Nagasaki alone. It was completely reviving, of course. I never heard of that or so. And like an alternative Marshall Plan. And the American companies, they came in and they restructured these whole cities. At least they had their hand in it. The thing is, Japan doesn't have any fucking oil. And no matter how you want to play in the world, you need oil or access to oil. And Japan has nothing or hardly anything. Nothing compared to the population. That is the main problem. If Japan would have had oil, like it has volcanism, then oil, no. Not much. Hey there, Gears. Still.
Yes, yes. I'm still listening to you. Yes, but the thing is that Japan and Germany, they got those big advancements in technology. Mm. But that didn't last long. Things were going so fast that useless in 1942.
But that was the thing. That was why they suppressed those countries. Why they installed a regime in those countries to suppress them. Because they were doing too well. It's a game of whack-a-mole. That's how they switch their targets from areas and places where it goes too well and they stage a problem. And then it's like poking sticks in a mole anthill and watching what happens and then reacting to that and so on. But then a bit more advanced, of course, but it's the same concept.
Yes, and also war is a great way to get people to buy into some technological advancement that it would have taken decades to introduce to the mass.
Yes, that is one of the main reasons. And if that reason is not there, then it will not happen. So that's why we haven't had another world war, because this is not an incentive of war anymore in the areas where technology is now. Military-wise, it's not necessary anymore because we have internet, and you can do that in a completely non-military way. So, with the internet, there is no war necessary, let's say, as I see it. World war.
Well, you get still the need for local perturbation and uprising.
Yeah, of course.
No need for the global wars, I think.
No, exactly. And indeed, it was necessary to form Israel. It was the first and second, but it was just a partial goal. I mean, there's never one goal for a fucking world war. And another goal was to get rid of the Russian monarchy and to get rid of the German aristocracy and others in Europe and so on.
I think one of the main goals was to establish the Iron Curtain and to have this gigantic social experiment on the Russian people and people of the Warsaw Pact nation.
Exactly, yes, very much, yes.
Yeah, I did. That's exactly, they're used as lab rats and experimentation. Yes, absolutely.
And the same is true for the other side also.
Yeah, in that sense, that's why the Cold War actually is the Third World War, but it's not using weapons, but information. And we're still in the Cold War, if you look at it that way. And if you look at how smoothly it ebbed out, now we're all friends again, now some Cuba and there's some communist. But we're all okay again. But now we have Muslim terrorism. They tried for a while with Oklahoma, with libertarians, they were so-called, suspect. But no, it was the Muslim terrorism, of course. It's so clear, it's so childish. You see, they started with anti-anarchism. This is the longest they've done, right? This was in the 1830s already, till the 1910, 1920s, 1930s even still, right? The anti-anarchism.
You mean the anarchism, the bomb throwing and the political assassination?
Everywhere, in France especially, but everywhere in the world. It was their method of fear to get people to accept the state. Democracy, so-called, right? 1848 is the year of democracy. To get people to accept that, they needed, and for so long, they needed this threat of people who are anarchists. What is anarchism? Well, actually, I don't agree that we should have someone, authority, ruling over us who doesn't have the best interest of us, and we need to be able to say no, we don't want that. So, anarchism, right? That was a threat, of course, in society. People were sympathetic to that because that is the natural way, right? That's the way where we come from, living in caves and simple huts and whatever. That's completely legit. So to get that out of the system, they staged for so long so many of these so-called anarchist terrorist attacks.
Yes. And it was common in the end. It was, like you said, the way to instill fear in people, and that does not have changed that much.
Yeah, and especially instill fear, because there are some people who became Muslim in Holland after 9/11, but mostly it was not a positive thing for the Muslim faith as well, but it was also not as bad as they said. In certain cases, but it's a bit of both, right? But that is not really the enemy of the state. Is the state as an enemy, right? Is universal. That doesn't depend on religion. That doesn't depend on race, on whatever, at least the social standard. Even it depends on wherever you are and wherever there's a government. There's everywhere a government, so everywhere.
Yes, every time a social class or whatever show any sign of any emancipation, there is a reaction to that.
Yes.
But like you said, with the advent of the internet, it's totally changed. I don't think that you will need this big war or big event anymore.
Exactly.
Like 7/7 or in London or 9/11.
Look at how it doesn't. What JLB is saying, war will become a hoax. I can see that happening, yes. But not war is a hoax. War can become a hoax, yes. Perfectly. I mean that they are completely staging, really using actors. And in the end, if they get paid enough, and money is a lie anyway. Money is worth something for us, but the big money system is a lie anyway, so money is no issue for them, right? So,
yes, at a certain level, money is totally irrelevant.
And that is the thing, and that's what Ed needs to understand. That is, if you don't understand it really, then you, because if you measure things according to money, then you cannot think in the world of the clowns, right? You cannot, their world is so far away from ours in so many aspects. Especially no need for money. I mean, Donald Trump doesn't use money. He has just his and guard of people around him who do things for him, right? And of course, he needs to do things for other people, but it's okay. But it's not that money doesn't mean anything for these people. It
yes,
means something for
there
us.
Is a few,
right?
There is only a few people that we can consider as ultra-rich that money still means something to, you know? And there is not
the
that many examples.
The thing is, we never know how much they have. Because all these numbers, who knows? I mean, they don't know what we have, so how would we know what they have? What they have is what is publicized they have, which might be true, which might be an average per year, or it might be 10%, or it might be twice. No, it's not twice. Right? At this moment, it is just, why would they present everything as in the clown world, but then something which is even secret among normal people, the salary, oh, the yearly salary or monthly salary, oh, you cannot talk about that, right? Yeah, this is insane to think that what they had then earned, that is a legit version. And then look at what they
bought.
Yes,
buy. And also, yeah. Yes, and that is also something that, for taking an example, if you take the list of the best paid sports people in the world, you know?
Yeah.
That list is not really true because you will need to know how much these people have in a bank account and how much dividend it pays each year, you know? That is something
yeah,
to take into consideration
like
also. And,
from my salary and royalties and sponsored contracts and all that shit.
Yes, but there is many, like you said, many shadow form of income and trust where the name is not appearing and all those things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that list is just taking a few parameters, and that's yes, it's an analogy to what you are saying. You don't really have all the information to really discern having all this money.
And most of the things are hidden. It's not really that it's fake. Of course, these baby hoaxes and so, it's a certain way of theater for them, right? It's like they enjoy this, probably. I really think that they look at it like a form, and it is a form of theater, right? But they enjoy the reaction of the crowd. They probably watch the YouTube comments, the Facebook comments, not the individual ones. They have to select the best ones for them, right? I mean, that's how it works at that level. But of course,
yes.
That is why they do it. That is why that's their measure of how society reacts to these things and how they further can experiment with us.
Yes, and in the end, even if money is not relevant to you, you know what you are spending and you want to see the result for it. So, of course, you want to see the social change that your money is buying in some sort of way.
I mean, dedication is not these circles, right? I mean, these people are at that level because they have a certain amount of dedication which goes way beyond our dedication. I mean, it's like what a Russian gymnast probably had to go through in childhood and early teens and so on. That is what these people have in their dedication for greed and the thing is the fuckery. I mean, they really like telling lies, the whole system of that. I mean, like, okay, land grabbing too.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist audio chat on Fakeologist.com.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Completely uninterrupted. This came from the so-called fucking moon. That is the literal terminology the NASA astronauts allegedly in these suits used in their conversation. I have listened to that and I was like, "Heh, you don't talk like this if you are on the moon." That is what I saw in this video the first time when I woke up to this. This is ridiculous. I mean, they were talking like that. They were in a bar or so, like that's informal kind of thing. What? You are two astronauts on the moon. You're representing your country. Use and in the 1960s and 70s, right? I mean, when the language was still more formal than today, even, right?
Yes, and military personnel at that.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, thanks. Yeah,
Perfect. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it was like a trolling. Okay, if they do it like that, then they show it is fake. They do it on purpose. Because there is no... It only makes sense from the clown's perspective, right? I mean, in a normal, like you say, the military using unprofessional language, then you will not even be selected for such thing, right?
Yes, I think that if even if once in training under pressure, you just use one word that is not formal enough, that will be invalidating the whole training, maybe.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, and that is how they... That's another point for the chat in 2 weeks to think about, because that is what I heard, and maybe other people heard as well in this video for all mankind. 1980s, what we talked about.
Yes, and I can tell you that and it will be even 100,000 times worse in this situation, but from my experience, we were using those shitty radio in boot camp when I was doing my time in the army in Switzerland, and we had a hard time understanding each other, especially because there was this German people. And, yes, exactly. And also the fact is that we were not speaking the same language. So,
oh wow!
For easiness of understanding, we used to speak in English because the guy on the other side was speaking English and I was speaking English, so it was faster. Mm. And we had the displeasure to hear this German sergeant screaming on the radio in German that we were not the U.S. Army and that we were never to speak in English. It was either French, German, or in emergency cases, Italian.
Yes. Oh, I can imagine. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So I can not only imagine what it should be in the U.S. Army Air Force, you know?
Yeah, no, exactly. No, I... they don't even hide behind that, right? That is allowed. No, they make it clear in all their propaganda and everything that is like propaganda, but it's still true, right? I mean, a movie about the army, the American army, and there are there's a lot of lies in there, but there is a lot as well, and that could explain a way that they did that in. I listened to it and I was like, I mean, what the fuck did these guys smoke? And then they can, I immediately thought of that. They can explain it away, yeah, it's because, yeah, they have a lack of oxygen in their suit, so they're talking a bit strange. You shouldn't watch that too much. Maybe it is also because they're wearing suits that, according to your specifications, go to -150 Celsius. Problem is, in the shade, on the moon, and it can be during the day, because it's respective of day and night, night, it's always shade, and in the sun, on the day, outside of the sun, in the shade, it is night. It is -250 degrees. So you had a -100 degrees centigrade
So the difference there. Is dead when you see, at one point he died, and... that's why I speak casually, you know. When you die, you forget your military training, obviously.
Ah, he died? What?
Yes, and he came back. That's the point. If you were to experience such a... If his combination cannot withstand the temperature, at one point, he probably died and came back. That's the only explanation I see.
He died and came back. Okay, yeah. Okay, yeah. Yeah. The thing is...
That's the only explanation.
The thing is, this magical material can withstand the every second problem of being in the sun on one side, so you are at +250 or -150 degrees centigrade on one side of your body, and the other side is in the shadow, so that is -250. And if there is a material which is flexible enough to that can withstand a temperature difference of 500 degrees at the same time, and why don't we see that here used on everywhere?
Yes, and they could have used this specific material for coating in the New York building that we know of in 2001.
Oh, building. Yeah.
Yes, and the two towers also. Because if there were such a material that can withstand such a...
You're lucky I'm not an expert, and I'm lucky you're not a real expert, and you're more expert than me, but and there are people who know, like, Building 6. Do you know about Building 6? I don't say, but it's like there are 7 buildings were destroyed, or 9 or something, right? So more than just the Twin Towers, that's for sure.
Yes.
How many? I'm not sure about. Hey, I will mute for like 2 minutes, but keep talking. It's okay.
Yes, maybe I will even say. Who knows?
Okay.
So yes, many of those things that they are saying about the moon landing are totally fake, but I don't think that there is much point in burning your cartridge, shooting or loading kind of right now about on the subject. It's something that we should reserve for a later date, an anniversary date, which is more suited. But I think that there is a lot to be expected on this front.
Don't worry, I have enough points to get a space now, please go.
Yes, and I think also that they will give us enough new material to speak for an audio marathon, I think, because they will release some never-seen footage or whatever. I'm sure that we will witness some great surprise on the part of the media for this anniversary of the moon landing. So yeah, I am expecting some newfound footage, some new material, some new testimony, maybe a new spin on the history. Who knows, maybe they will come back with a new character that from some political or sexual orientation or skin color or whatever reason was identity scenes, but
maybe they come back with a baby lighter.
Yes, something like that. Who knows? But like I said, I am expecting a lot of new material from now and the date that will come. So yes, that anniversary is a lot of promising, a lot of new things. At least that's what I am expecting. Even though the subject has been discussed over and over, I am still expecting to see something new on that front. Maybe I am too hopeful, but not that, of course, we will have the smoking gun of the definitive evidence. So there is definitive evidence. It's just that it will take some explaining to convince any normal people that
The post-interview is the best single evidence. It's fake. No person who would achieve such a thing would react like that. Nobody. Impossible. You cannot act that way. That's what they clearly struggle with, right?
Well, definitely, you will not act this way if you were to accomplish such a big historical fact. And especially the strange thing is that
Sorry, this comparison. Do you know the Tour de France, right? It just started.
Yes.
It's about 3 weeks, right? And it's about 4,000 something kilometers, right?
That yes, is it's one of the
and
one of the worst
that,
thing you can inflict on your body.
But it is a real feat. It's really I have a lot of respect for people who can do it. But okay. But this is Tour de France takes 3 weeks, right? More or less.
Yes.
To do this. And compare that to the state of flight, human flight, before the moon landings and so on, right? The state was that you could do that, Tour de France, in 3 weeks. And suddenly, if you compare the altitude, people would go. And with the moon landing, suddenly, and magically, 6 times, they could do the Tour de France in, do you know how much?
How much?
In 6 minutes. This is what we're talking about here. Again.
Yes, that's a big difference.
So 6 times they could do that, but afterwards, everybody did the Tour de France in 3 weeks again. Isn't that strange?
Yes, but that in the political game and whatever, it was much needed. And
these are key points to explain to a so-called normie, and to let him or her think about that point. And that's what I did. That's what I did with my parents-in-law.
And of course, they thought, I mean, they take me seriously. But they thought, okay, yeah, a bit strange, this guy, right? Of course. But then I explained it like this. They were like, yeah, this is completely ridiculous. Right? I mean, they saw it themselves. I didn't put that idea in their heads. I helped them see it themselves, right? That's how
yes, and
work.
There is also
same with children.
One thing I wanted to mention is that if you take a character like Buzz Aldrin, you know, it's kind of a lunatic in some sort of way. It's an original.
Lunatic, it's a nice one, yes.
So, he's a kind of strange character. And, okay, and a guy that is so strange managed to get to the rank of Major India. And I think he was a major or colonel or something like that. And how can you reach the level of a test pilot, you know? If you are such an special individual in an institution like the Air Force.
You mean a guy who is actually never sober. That's what you mean, right? Because that is the case.
Yes, that is one thing, but I cannot say that he was an alpha before. You know?
You don't touch him, right? At least. Normally.
Yes, but I can't say that he was inebriated before, during his test pilot career. It's just that the guy seemed to have such an odd personality that
why would he need to be a test pilot if he doesn't go to space? I mean, he doesn't need to be a test pilot. Why is he a test pilot? But what convinces you that Buzz Aldrin is a test pilot?
Oh, because that's the backstory they are selling, but that's the point. If you want to believe that this guy is a test pilot, who can be a test pilot, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, just like the 19 hijackers with their corkscrew in the Pentagon and all this shit. Yeah, okay. Yes. The point when they start trolling us in the Triumph case, right? I mean, but the papier-mâché lunar lander, and the woman called Afraid. You remember that one? Or do you know about that one?
No.
The one, I think it was the Westminster attack in London. It was a woman who was photographed underneath the bus, and she was dead, apparently. But there was no blood, nothing. Underneath the wheel of the bus. And then, her name was Afraid. And her last name was Fraid, F-R-A-D-E. No kidding. That is the level of trolling in our faces, right? That is...
Oh, yes. Yes, there is always something that is
displaying in Asia, right? And this fuck you, holy fuck, or what was it? These pilot names in these plane in Asia. Holy fuck, or what?
I don't know the name, but it was something really funny. Not as blatant as holy fuck, but something really funny.
Yes.
Yes, but sometimes you find those odd names in those odd backstories or story of after, you know? Like, for example,
the thing
what
also
I found...
Sorry to interrupt just for a second, but the thing is that... famous people have unique names, and that may be their real names or that may be not their names. If everything is fake, then their name. So that could well be, but at least that is statistically that doesn't make sense. Right? If you would have, then there would be a lot of Joe Smiths. Joe Lewis is close, but no. Yeah, you know, but no. Famous people have a famous...
odd name.
An odd name, right? Mostly. And if they don't have it, they make a Madonna pseudonym or so, right?
Yes, and there's some things that maybe I found interesting, and some people will say it's totally irrelevant or stupid, but one example I found about 9/11 is that... the dust lady, the lady that was photographed covered in dust just after 9/11, she ended up addicted to cocaine.
Oh, yeah.
So I found that hilarious, you know, from dust to dust, you know. And I found that it was kind of something that
definitely. That is the Easter egg. Yes, 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 yes. That is the Easter egg trolling in our faces. Oh, great, yes.
That's and there's a lot of things like that. To be honest, some backstory are not so greatly done. And also, there was the fact that at one point, all those patsies or those created characters that were doing those attacks, at least in the USA, they all had the three names, you know?
Uh-huh. Yeah, and these people who were allegedly at certain events in a row. Shit, I forgot what
Yes, you
today, man.
This photograph that was at 9/11, and then he was at the Boston Marathon.
Yes, yes, yes.
Some other event.
PSYOP chain programming.
Yes, and like I said, sometimes the backstory is like the Node brother that I evocate a lot, but it's normal because those are the two main French-speaking characters of 9/11. And, the backstory is the two
personas. 30 seconds.
Yes, the Node brother backstory is totally fabricated. I have a brother that is 3 years older than me, and I guarantee you that we will never have graduated from the same school on the same year. That is something you almost never heard of, and if someone has an example, a real one, a real example, a verifiable example of two brothers 2 or 3 years apart that graduated from the same school in the same year, I am really, really interested to hear. So yes, the backstory is, but it's like no one really gives a shit about those characters and those things. Many people will not look into that. They don't really care. So just need a quick backstory, and it will convince enough people. So if you are dealing with an investigative journalist or something like that, of course you will have to fabricate something that is greater than that. But if you have to have all the journalists in your pocket, and if you want to create a civilization change, and if almost everything is on board with it, you don't really need to work too much on the backstory of those people.
On which people?
Well, the perpetrator of whichever attack you want, like the main villain hijacker.
I think it's just a name, and it's not real. Maybe there's a real actor playing it, or in the case of 9/11, probably photos from someone or from images, right? Edited.
If you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the Fakeologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription or one-time donation. Thank you for your support. In my dream, I have a
plan. If I Hello. Test, nigga Joe. Test.
Yes. You just said that on on air, but anyway.
Yeah, exactly. With all intent and purposes. It underlines my views.
Yes. So what we were saying, yes, I was saying that most time the backstory doesn't need to be much elaborated, and you don't need to do much work, but they refine that because, of course, you always get some kind of idiot that will consult the dead people record or something like that, and you need to refine that for the next event. But
of course, there's no doubt that. I mean, would you ever do any project in a business environment and you don't have a lessons learned part of it? Of course. This is in every business, of course, the case. So, of course, they have that. Yeah, no, for sure. It's all an experiment, right? I mean, they're experimenting. Yes. We're lab rats.
And you go both ways.
That's how they see it. That's at least...
Yes, you might see that you need to enforce some point, you know, make some part of the story more credible, but you also see that... That you don't need to work that much on some part because nobody is looking at that, and that is something that go totally below the radar. So
Is it?
Yeah, no, for sure. For sure. And that is exactly how they do it.
Yeah. So maybe less fake wanted people, but more fake eyewitness, you know? Some kind of a mix of different ingredients. Until you find the right formula that is working almost every time on almost every cultural environment.
Mm-hmm. No, that's the thing. I mean, the one methodology doesn't exclude the other, right? It's 9/11 was a hack, even though it was probably nobody died, nobody got hurt. I don't want to say, but nobody died. Yeah, probably not. The film set, so no, probably not. But many events are not like that. But it's just different methodologies that test out and use, and if it works, and learn from it, right? There's not one blueprint for the whole world.
Oh, no, and you get a different flavor. You get the shooter, the crazy driver, you get the bomb on the street.
The lone
you gun. Get yes, and like
lone
I said,
gunman.
And like I said, the French people
like some indigenous curse.
Lone gunman.
Okay, yeah.
Yes, like I said, French people are really fond of manhunt, so obviously every baby ox that they have, most of them at least, they get to search for the guy for a few days to maintain the tension, but in some cultures they don't need that much. They rather have the guy or the perpetrator killed, yes, even if they are not real, you know, they say that the guy are killed because it was better in that country. But in France, for example, they like the manhunt.
Where did he catch him? In Corsica or so? The one from Toulouse or so? Was it? No, you're right. I've seen it in more French hoaxes that they spin the story just like they did with the Boston bombings. Because I kind of heard of the Boston bombings when it happened, but it was not like, okay, it was like complete investigation, nothing. But I was on holidays for a weekend off to Cali. And I was sitting there in the taxi, and that was the moment when this guy was hiding in this boat, and he was caught by the police, which was like 5 days after or so. It was Sunday, it was the marathon, and on Friday, this was happening. And actually, this was mostly a bombing on Sunday. It was a whole manhunt. They spun it out for 5 days, until Friday. And his brother got so-called shot by the police, and it's just a fake. I think it was CBS or NBC. I don't know which one it was, but I watched a complete hour documentary about it, and it's so completely fake. Ridiculous. But that's where they spun it out for 5 days as well, which is not really normal in the US, right?
Yes, it was kind of a test run, maybe. And they saw that the US public does not enjoy that. The US public seems to need those perpetrators to be killed right out or arrested.
Sure. You're right, exactly. And this, I mean, think about it, it's just a couple of months, and this next big one after Sandy Hook, and that was also a complete testing ground. How fucking stupid can we do it now this time, and they still eat it, right? This is pathetic. It was literally, even according to their standards, it's pathetic. Sandy Hook.
Yes, it looked like something. It's really strange because you get some aspect of it that seem really planned in advance and really think through, and you get some aspect that look like me and
really?
Two friends are deciding to. Yes.
When I saw it, it looked like a complete prank. I mean, you see these guys walking in circles around this barn. I mean, come on. Anybody who sees that must see. Come on.
That's what I say. There is some aspect of it that is
the cheapest version of theater. This really.
Yes, I totally agree that some part of it looks like me and you got together and created an hoax with $10,000 of budget. But there is some aspect of it, you know, that you see in the later part, the after parts, I would say, that
no,
showed that.
What was the preparation for Sandy Hook in the great minds of the people? What was the one?
Firstly, you get as many people as you can on board.
No, but the preparation hoax for it was the one in Aurora, in the theater. It was like a similar kind of modus operandi kind of thing. And that is what people see as the predecessor to Sandy Hook, let's say, right? It's nothing in school, but it's still the same kind of idea, thing, impact and so. And yes. What was that about? That was about The Dark Knight Rises. That is not coincidental. That is because in 2012, Maya calendar or not, there was a change happening, a big change. And since then, you have Sandy Hook, which was like the first test version or so of a stupid hoax. That, I don't know what they intended, but it was clearly, if there's not a double layer, then these people would be completely crazy, stupid, and I don't know what, but, you know. But there is a change visible, right, in that time.
Yes, there was an acceleration in the smaller hoax, and it was going differently because the Islamic terrorist act pattern was...
Getting bored. People were getting bored, and rightly so. And that's why they narratives, yeah. And it is amazing how the people for, let's say, 90 years or so are not getting bored of hearing about anarchists doing shit to the Queen Victoria, among other people, and the beginning of the First World War, and so on. And then what they call anarchists, it's not, of course, most of the time, that's not really anarchist, mostly in communist, socialist. So it's actually the opposite of state. But he wants a leftist kind of idea of distribution of wealth and so on. So that's actually not communist. But that was included in that. And if you ask people on the street, everywhere, in every country, right, do you feel safer with state, they will say, 99% will say yes, right? It's the programming.
Yes, everyone that was programmed, and I will tell you that not that many people totally see at first look that 9/11 was a total fraud.
No, but the thing is, there are so many entries into this. The thing is, I'm personally not an... I've seen some funny things, and so, okay, fine, but... I don't know why this has become so big of a... I understand why. I'm not saying it's not. But that is also the way to wake other people up. I mean, there are... With nutrition and with big pharma and vaccinations and other angles. The school system or so. I mean, people who don't want to teach climate change so-called bullshit anymore and stuff like that, right?
That will never end. I think that what was brought to the public attention in 2001, and I think that was planned many years before, that set some things in motion that would never stop, I think. There will never be a total reversal on this whole...
Surveillance state, you mean? No, of course, you're right, yeah. It is the onset to the surveillance. Yeah, you're right about that. And in that sense, it is very important. I understand, yeah. True. But I think then a better entry point is making sure to show people how ridiculous this surveillance state is, because in our own lives, safety is not an issue, right? Even here in this part. Sorry, completely. But here it's perfectly safe. But we're being held by some story on the news about terrorism. And that since then, since the latest terror, so-called terrorist attack here on the school of the police, so they did the youngsters, first day at the police academy, they were blown apart. That's the story. And then I was on holidays after that with my mother-in-law. And we had a nice time together. Story on the news, so she shut down the radio, luckily. But that was done. I mean, problem-led reaction
that was done to get these drones here and these helicopters flying over. Let me see if I see on. Should be at this hour normally. Yeah. Flying very slowly.
Yes, and I'm wondering if yes, like in the USA, there is some kind of traumatic event for each state, you know?
Yeah.
You get your Boston strong, Vegas strong, you get all those things, and I think that you don't need that much, you know? You don't need
to... That's also how they did it with these mass murders, with these hitchhikers and so. That was also to include a certain sense of... because you get someone from Indiana who is found dead, hitchhiking, whatever. You get a lot more connection. Oh, I know someone from... Stuff like that. That is also what they tested out. Just a testing ground, and they use lessons from that for even stuff we don't see. We need to still open our eyes up to or something, right? I don't know.
Yes, but that will be more difficult with time because you will have those increasing technological advancement that will allow to create this all made yes. character, you know?
Yes.
Because in the end, even if that's in some sort of way in purpose, I think that if you take, for example, there was this guy, I watch a lot of this guy, but auto-tuned because I think that it was hilarious, but the name of the guy is Elliot Roger, and Elliot Roger was a guy that couldn't get laid, couldn't get a girlfriend,
yeah.
and
that story, yeah.
Obviously,
and the son
never
of
heard of
producer
a prostitution or whatever, but...
Okay. And he was the son of a Hollywood producer or something, was it?
I don't know, but I know that the guy had some access to some wealth because he was owning a new BMW and whatever. But the thing is that if you look at any video of the guy, there is absolutely no reality to this character.
It's like a complete fantasy.
Complete CGI.
And fictim.
Yes. Complete CGI.
Yeah, fictim.
But the thing is that...
Complete fictionalized. Like Adam Lanza, right?
Yes. But the thing is that maybe it's even the case now, but in the near future, they will be able to produce such a good fake that you will not discern it from reality.
Already.
If they want to.
Already. Watching on, I think on I think it was on Truth Forum a couple of days ago. Someone shared a link, and then they show that it is already completely impossible to say if they're not real or not. There's an photo. I think the website is This Person Doesn't Exist or so, something like that. And that is showing computer-generated images of so-called people which do not exist. They're just fabrications, computer fabrications. And they look completely like real people.
Yes, it's something that is random generating the faces, but it's still pictures. It's not like
videos.
You know?
No, but
videos.
Okay, you know, if they need, I mean, in the Hollywood project, they need a character over a moving target, right? That's how they so that is like an incentive. Sorry, but there is not necessarily war in the old sense with armies and so, but like there is a need for something that needs to be developed, and that only happens in a stressful situation most of the time. And that is, I see that's evolution. So why they do that, why they stage these booms and busts and use wars as science projects, but I think they do that, right? So, if they need to get moving images completely impossible to recognize for the eye to be digital or not existing, and they can completely professionalize that in a Truman Show, then they will look for a way to implement it to get the funding, so or something, if it's military, or I don't know, maybe they will do something with the global warming shit or so. It's, no. But there will be something, some kind of incident, but not a world thing. I don't see that.
It's like Alex Jones. Sorry, Garrus, are you still there?
Yes, yes, I'm listening to you.
Okay, okay.
No, no, no. I'm all in, no problem. I will not fall asleep. No, it's just that I'm listening to you, and that makes total sense.
Okay.
It's getting difficult to analyze the world because we have access to many, many information, but to discern what is true from what is not is very difficult. And one attitude is to reject everything as a block and say that there is no truth to anything. But I think that it's boring, to be honest. It's really boring
to have such a modernity view. I think the best way is to look for points where the story debunks itself. Because that is the strongest, the most independent method using, I mean, it's like there are metaphors for David and Goliath stuff. I don't know. I mean, using the own force against itself, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I don't play kind of Japanese.
In
that kind of thing, you have a lot.
I was going to say that it's mental Aikido.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you. Great. Yeah.
And that's exactly what you are about to say.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
This is the Elite from Stockholm, Sweden, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio on fakeologist.com.
Hey, that's cool. The Elite.
I will need a 5-minute break, but I will be back in 5 minutes.
Okay, yo. Me too. Hello. Test, negative, test. Are you still there, Garrus? Or not there yet? It's okay. Oh, we talked a lot about anyway. This is how it goes. You could spend a lifetime just looking at that and all its aspects in history. It's an interesting country, you know. In the history. Solomon. Yeah, why did the Escobar family gods in Argentina? Interesting. Why do we have an Argentinian pope? Why do we have the first Argentinian queen? And her name, her is queen and it's princess, as used to be the case. So this is an equal role for the first time in history. She's Argentinian. Interesting. Muy interesante.
Yes, I'm back.
Hey, I was just talking about Royal Dutch people, not Shell, but Royal Dutch. Because is the Argentinian as the first queen of the Netherlands, in the sense that she is the spouse of the real king, but her name is for the first time in queen and not princess, which used to be. Yeah, it's these kind of things, huh? Argentinians all over, Pope, right? Messi, think of that. I'm not saying Messi is not a great footballer. But there is something. Yeah, he's not the only footballer. Well, I mean, I told you, the Pochettino, Mauricio Pochettino, the Argentinian coach of Tottenham Hotspur, the second goalkeeper of the team, is a guy from his own town, village. And his village is called Murphy.
Which is probably an Irish village, I think.
Yes, exactly.
That's tough.
Who said the Irish paradise? The phrase that doesn't exist in France, so maybe that's what the phrase is.
But it was funny that, of all places, those two people met again, because they probably met even prior to that. Because I don't think that Pochettino is that old.
And no, I mean, it's not the first time they know. Of course, the families know each other. No, that's for sure. It's a village of 3,500 people or so. Nothing. So
yes,
everybody
yes,
knows
I mean,
each other in his village.
Other, yes.
Of course. No, he probably is a gold. He's like shit or something. No, of course not. I haven't even seen him. No, but it's just how this nepotism, and nepotism or cronyism,
nepotism is with family and cronyism is with friends. There's nothing against it. Great, this is how we. That's the natural way of operating in society, right? And that's how I would. It's very normal here in Colombia. And that's most people in Europe do that too, but there is somehow some kind of strange taboo on it if it's in the workplace.
But it depends. It totally depends on the level of responsibility and qualification. But if you were to run a private company, of course, that is a prerogative to hire your retarded nephew at marketing department.
Great cartoonization of that one. Okay. I will share that.
I mean, in the sense that the
general standard of people employing family members, that is the retarded. You said you didn't believe in CERN, but I don't know what's in the water over there, but it makes you crazy.
So yes, it depends, but that's something that politicians used to do, and probably do in many, many places. You hire some member of your family as your staff or as a cabinet member in some sort of function. In the end, those people are never there. They're attending private function.
Look at Donald Trump.
Yes, right? Exactly.
I mean, he is the next Henry Kissinger.
Yes, it's his son-in-law. He seems to be someone very, very connected. And he seems to be groomed.
I hope it will be a long and painful death, but I wouldn't say that about anyone, but about Henry Kissinger, yes, I think he deserves that. And if you want to call it hate speech, well, go talk to the victims he caused, and maybe we can talk about hate speech after. Okay. His scandal is going out, right? So at one moment, so he needs an. And next in line, and that is this Kushner guy, this wealthy banker, financial shot, Bobo thing in Trump's cabinet, and now also in Bilderberg and so on. There's another coincidence, right? So I think there will be another, because this guy needs to be at least get the time to get more influence and more. I mean, he's being made the new strategist, right? I mean, they need a strategist, this Kissinger role, in their fucked up way of looking at us. I mean, they need a strategist to take care of the ant farm, or the ant hill, right?
Yes, they need an overseer to steer the ship.
And a snake tongue who can snake himself in. Reptilian himself in anywhere, like he did.
Yes, I think that in some way this guy might be the one that they are putting in the forefront. But like I said, the real interesting people are in the shadows.
For sure. Sorry.
And Kissinger is still kicking. Which is really interesting.
I think polonium will be nice, or something like that. It's something like a slow death would be nice. Something like peaceful, that even at his level, the pills they developed for their, that they don't work anymore. Like that. That would be
I think that what I will pick for him is an IV drip of Agent Orange.
Sorry, what?
Agent Orange that they use in Vietnam. I will give him an IV drip of that.
Okay, yeah, that's probably a good one. Yeah, for starters.
Oh, that will end him up quickly.
Old Henry is not going to be so easily satisfied.
Yes, but he probably has some...
He has some years to take up on.
Okay,
you do the first part. Next time,
I think that he has probably some morphine auto-injector somewhere inside his body.
Yeah, in case he
ever gets captured.
Yeah, that's true.
Or a cyanide capsule in the teeth or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I think that some people fear so much being kidnapped or something like that. Even maybe in Colombia, maybe some people have some kind of...
Completely normal to have escorts. I mean, in my in the building I used to live, there was a guy, probably two, who had escorts. I mean, my neighbor was the national goalkeeper of the former one, but so it was people with money and then state didn't jump. And here also I had in this apartment, in the beginning I saw people with escorts. It's a pretty common sight.
Yes, and in some countries it's totally normal to have armed guards in front of buildings, of private buildings.
Well, the guards downstairs have a pistol, have a gun. Yes, and I'm happy they have that.
Yes, of course. But
it is in the end, it's an industry because it's not. I mean, there is more security than danger. But the thing is, of course, the society is used to this industry. But also, if you would turn it down, then probably there will be crime, or there will be fake crime created by these companies who own these cars, right? That's what's going to happen. Or they need to stabilize the level. But yeah, people in Colombia are too afraid.
Yes, but they have some reason to be in. They are also not immune to the general climate of fear.
No, of course, yes. No, this was for sure.
So it's the same around the world. We are all subjected to this this terrible propaganda, and even people in the deep end of the last civilized city.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
Once in a while, one of us wakes up. It's not supposed to happen, but it does.
We were just talking about the Dark Knight, the Joker, right?
Yes.
Give us the first one.
Yes, and the Joker speak a lot of word of wisdom in that movie.
Yes. It's a very good movie. I like it. For him.
Yes. Yes, it's a great movie. Those Batman series are a great series of movies. I did not like the first one that much, to be honest.
But Batman Begins?
Yes, I did not really like that one, to be honest. But the second and the third one were okay. The second being the best, of course.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, the third I didn't like at all. I saw it in the cinema. And, this was... Actually, I think it was on the same day when this attack was happening, or around the, it was at least at the same time. Because I watched Medellin. Mm-hmm.
Yes, the attack with the orange colored air guy.
No. Mm-hmm. Well, it happened, I don't know, 2 weeks before, a week before, or something like
that. Yes, the name is Holmes something, I think.
Mm-hmm. James Holmes, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, strange story. They supposed to have found the guy sitting in his car, calmly waiting for them. Mm-hmm. Strange story. We have to discern the truth or if there was even any victim, to be honest.
No, I don't think so. I think the guy is an actor. And it's not easy. It's not hard to just control a movie theater.
Yes, such a small closed place is very easy to... Yes, you can stage whatever you want. You just need to close the door and make some noise. And some people panicking going outside.
It's probably the easiest... I mean, they used it for Abe Lincoln. So-called murder.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it was in a live theater. It was a real theater, not a theater, of course. Still. They have so many old tricks and methods. And they keep using it. Right, and so you see them coming back in these stories, and then the question arises: okay, we can generally agree that the history is mostly falsified, made up, or so much corrupted possible to tell what happened. I put that boundary for myself and later for the Columbus and all that stuff. I think that's a reasonable boundary. But there are so many stories that are told by these historians in this history that completely make sense and to be logical to assume that would have existed then. So that makes sense, that part of history. I don't know if it's true, but at least it makes sense. Which is... you cannot say that things, the clowns... most things don't make sense.
Yes, most things don't add up when you look at them more closely.
No.
But I think that it's done in purpose also. If you look at some things, that there's so many things that will... You see, it's totally done on purpose, and the fact is that many of these orcs are... yes, there is some bad element, and it's just to spark the interest of the conspiracy nut, and yes, create further divide between
people. The outcome doesn't matter, right? I mean, it's fake or... it doesn't matter. If it's real in the mind of the people, it's real, effectively, right? It is...
oh, yes.
That's how history is created. It is a series of legends made real, right? It's never the correct version of events that happen. And even if you would think it is, then 99% of the whole world history is completely hidden because there's normal people like you and me where nobody talked about. They couldn't write or read or whatever. So it's completely unknown. Lost.
Yes. And if I had the power to teleport into one place, that would be the library of the Vatican.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. There must be some crazy books in there.
Mm-hmm.
Some things you cannot even imagine, I would think.
No.
That is probably the place where there are the most secrets concentrated in one spot.
Mm.
Yeah, and it's probably mostly a not important and a trivial thing, you know?
Mm.
Maybe some blackmail material from. I think that there is most many pages of blackmail material from previous centuries.
Oh yes,
you know.
Yeah.
Every bad thing you can know about the last 10 kings of France or so.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So that would be very funny to visit that place.
No, just for sure.
Anyway, I'm starting to fall asleep, so maybe it's time to wrap this up, because we've been going on for almost 4 hours.
No,
of course, we had a few breaks, but...
four, you're right. Yes. Oh, it's far too long. I was spending a chat. I thought, nice short chat.
Yes, not that much plain Patagonia, but a bit of it still.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's
in the end, I tend to think that everything that is gravitating towards the elite is going back to plain Patagonia some sort of way.
Mm-hmm. With the only couple of days of research already.
Yes.
Now I've found in this book I have... written by an Argentinian that about this German guy who was the first explorer in Patagonia with Magalhães. Yes, you find so much stuff. Idea, part of it, aspect, a factor, I don't know. And yeah, I think there is enough ground to say that as a possibility because of the unsustainability of Israel, the hatred of many Jews for Israel, and the opportunities there are, and the activities of 40% Jews. It's not a pure Jewish thing, but there is a strong dominance, or dominance. Yeah.
Yes, but we can see that the people at the top have an inclination to work with the people that they know, and that they know they can rely on, and The Jewish people seems to be the one that are the most reliable for maintaining a business in some sort of way, be it the entertainment business or whatever. it's totally normal that those people will use them again when it's time to.
Yes, for sure. Yeah. They're the right man for the job.
Exactly. And they are in the right spot at the right time. It seems every time. So those are the people you want to have on your side if you were to establish something new somewhere. So of course.
Yeah, the interesting thing. And the only thing which could come close is like, I don't know, in Yugoslavia and so, something like that, but complete part of a country that's becoming a new state, suddenly, that hasn't happened how many years? What? What was the last one? Prussia.
Yes, and what kind of people will let Wall Lake be sold to foreign interests?
Yeah, and that is just one example. I started this list with lakes. Okay, so, now they're getting at least access to. Yeah, that is nice. But you have to understand that you're part of a community and a field of people living there already. It's going to come in taking over the land, right? That's not how it should be.
Yes, exactly. And the thing is that the angle that might be used to have some kind of success against this plan is the indigenous people angle. Maybe that's the way to try to not stop, because I don't think that there is any way to stop this plan, but to throw something in the mechanism.
I don't think it's for next time, but there is an independence movement for Patagonia. They have an own flag.
Yes, there is one. And there was
both in both Chile and. There was one in France, in the French Kingdom of Araucania and Patagonia.
Yes, there was some
precedent. And Fuego was not included. It was not.
Yes, but maybe it was more for practical reason, you know.
Yeah, it was Julio Popper's terrain, man.
Yes. Yes. Don't mess with the Jew mobsters.
And the Argentinians, they massacred the Mapuche in 1860, 1880, and Popper and his buddies, and others mainly, murdered the Selknam for 20 or 40 years or so. Almost to extinction, literally. So, yeah, nice.
Yes, but the thing is that it sometimes ends on small things, like if you have the first expedition that came up empty, you might be quiet for 30 years without someone coming back, you know. But if the first guy is coming back with even the smallest nuggets of gold or whatever,
yes.
Then you're fucked. Then you must evacuate and go deeper into the jungle and
hope that they will not come this far. No jungle there, right? It's all,
yes.
No temperate.
It's time. A figure of speech.
Yeah, you I know. Yes.
Retreat back and consider a new way of living, different territories and, or whatever. But the thing is that you are already into the biggest region of the world, but
even there. Yeah, that's a good point, because I sympathize with people seeking widespread freedom and virgin terrain and nature and all that. Of course, I sympathize with that. But the Mapuche were there first, and quite some years first, huh? And the other groups.
Yes, and if you were to take a parallel with another special groups, they probably have some religious text that attest that they were there for a thousand of centuries, you know?
I think they didn't have just like any, only the Mayans did, and the Aztecs with the things, but yeah, no, knowing this calendar, I don't know, I'm not sure, really sure about that anymore, but most of these civilizations didn't have writing. So it is very hard to understand what is actually the origin, but there are some studies about these religions and all this stuff, and I've done my research on them, not on the Mapuche. Others. Yeah.
I mean, the name says it all, right? People from the Earth. So if people take their Earth from them, that is literally a blasphemy, right? I mean, Gaia, it's Mapu, Gaia.
Yes.
They're actually taking part, literally parts of their god away, giving parts of their god away. That's actually how the host. And yes, I think they're pretty, they're quite some, like, traditionally ridiculous, like, a Mapu, animistic religion kind of people still. I really think so, yes.
Yes, and the thing is that also the size of the territory that are sold are so massive that in the end you will end up like a Mapuche Palestinian, you know, with some kind of small patch of land disjointed from each other, and you will even have to ask the big group that have bought the land next to your two lands to have a right to pass, you know, those land.
Exactly. And it is, I mean, there are so many examples already, and chatting the fart about it. I don't know why, but the noise level didn't believe that there were many people, indigenous people in the Americas, killed. I would say there are about 20 to 30 million. And he said, yo, 100,000, that's too many. Ah, come on, man, no. So many years, so many centuries. The incentive was to hide it. It was not to increase the numbers. No, it was not. Even in that time, conquistadors and so, they were. It's always. What's the movie, right? You see the role of the bishop, of the church. There was really a moral idea which did, of not massacring people. Normally, regularly, right? It's not like one big crazy frenzy machine. So there would be, I think these numbers are far under representing the real theft.
Yes, and in the end, I don't think that they're so scrupulous with the counting, you know. They don't really care.
Yes, exactly.
In the end, you wanted to claim the territory, but you don't wanted to be seen as a the butcher of the Mapuche.
Okay. No, we're talking about Mapuche. Okay, we can talk about Mapuche. Any Latin American tribe, almost, because the animal is so widespread. You're seeing a jaguar coming towards you. And the jaguar is really a strong animal. It's really the top predator. It's bigger than a puma in terms of strength and so as well. So he's coming towards you, and you are, let me check how many dead people are there here. First, I have to count, right? And like that, yeah, of course.
Yes, and you don't really see those people as people in the end. So. No,
exactly. That's the thing. Yes. That's very important. And it also comes from the religion, right? Dehumanizing, and also of this racist theory spirit of the late 19th century, early 20th century. Yeah, there's also, and there's Nietzsche and stuff, right?
Yes,
like a science.
Some of those guys, they saw themselves as having a civilizing mission. They went on a mission for God to civilize those people, even against their will, and even if that meant eliminate 90% of them. As long as you can save the soul of the 10 remaining persons.
Yes. Yeah, and of course the bigger bishops and guys, they got their orders directly from the Vatican. Not directly, or maybe two steps in between, but the story for the public is, of course, we need to pacify and convert these people, but in the end it was about the control of land, resources, stuff.
Yes.
Get
and you get also your political officer from the Vatican on every expedition in the form of a clergy member.
Yes, basically. Yeah. Yeah, and with these videos, with these movies, the one you recommended to me and the other one I watched shows, is indeed that it was an important role, and I think, I believe that absolutely is true. And mostly those were the scribers as well, right? Writing it down. Here it was Juan de Castellanos, who was a bishop, and he wrote about the local indigenous people.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, I'm going to try to have some sleep because it's 3 a.m. and it's the start of the week, so Start the week normally.
Yes. Hey, good night, man. Thanks.
Oh, thank you very much. It was an excellent audio that we did. And, thank you very much. I let you do the outro and the thanks to everyone.
Okay, cool. Yes.
Okay.
Okay,
okay, have a
bye
nice
bye.
Evening.
Thanks,
and thank you very much. Bye.
Okay, bye. So, yeah, this was just some ideas sharing. Yeah, well, for the Plamponia, look at Fakepedia and so on. But it's just sharing some ideas with Jerry's. That's much cooler than what specifics or so on. Yeah, just general stuff.
That's all, folks.